Okay, I call this Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting to order. The date is April 9, 2012, and the time is 6:12. Tony, can you please take roll?
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Okay, now it'll take us to, and actually before it takes us to the first item, I would like to ask my committee members if we could move up items G and H.
No problem.
No problem? Okay. So, Tony, if you could move that up and read it into the record.
Item G is early bird project list update. Mr. Maldonado, Mr. Ramirez.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Sir, item G is fine. There are items in item E and F that you might want to hear before you hear H. But I'll do whatever you want.
Okay.
We kind of put it in that order so you get an update on where we are with the contracts and the architects before. But if you, we could go back.
Okay. Well, let's hear item G and then we'll take that up after item G. Mr. Maldonado.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Right before you, I think you've got a bound copy of the, that's titled Penalty Independent School District Bond Series Program Project List, Early Bird Projects, April 5th, 2012. Yes?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, this report was prepared by myself with input from Mr. Jose Sanchez and Mr. Pablo Ramirez, Maria Cortez, the administrative assistant, and various maintenance personnel. And if you could please read the disclaimer on the bottom of it, it says all the following figures are based upon all purchase orders that were available and all the information from personnel that were involved in the projects. Contracts, scopes of work were used whenever they were available.
Phoebe, are you going to use the, do you have pictures?
Yes, sir. And we have a PowerPoint that we're going to pass out to you also that we prepared with pictures indicating.
Ernie, can you be the clicky click for Pablo so he doesn't have to do that? I feel all alone down here.
Oh, these are still on.
Can everyone see the screen? You feel free to move your chairs, guys, whatever you need.
Well, let me begin by saying, stating that Dr. Murphy called us into the office and he asked us to go ahead and conduct an audit of the early bird project list that was handed to us on the 30th of March. So this presentation and this report is based off of that list. What you have in front of you is an updated list that has been updated by Mrs. De Leon in finance. Okay, some of them were moved around, but I'm going off of the preliminary list that we were given. So if we're off a little bit, I'm sorry about that, but I couldn't modify the report based on the updated list.
Are you meaning the original project status? Is that what you're...
Well, there was several lists generated as we went, and what happened is, like for instance, I have the original one that I went off of, and it's dated 3/30, and then this is the updated. And what happened is some of these items were moved to another sheet.
Right. Okay. And if I may, I think I can explain. There were three items on the early bird list that we didn't get very much at all, one being the wetlands. They were moved to the green sheet, which is the summer 2012 proposed, and you can see that when you look on that list. There's three early birds. The blue purple sheet, page one, is the early bird list minus those three. I don't think there's any others that.
Right. No, that's it. Yes, sir. Absolutely correct.
Okay, and so referring to, I guess, the original sponsors program project list that we first had, the last one under the early bird projects, do we have that original, Dr. Murphy? The original that was left to us by administration?
Yes, it is in the column original project status. Then you'll notice project status update in white on the right.
Okay, and that's what I was referring to. Okay,
right.
Now I got it.
This is a comparison between the way the projects were reported before and then how we're going to report them tonight.
Okay, and Mr. Rhodes has a question.
This bound book then equals this?
Yes, ma'am.
Just different format, but
yes,
it's all
ma'am.
The same. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
I just don't want to have any misunderstanding.
Yeah, I understand. I just wanted to make sure what I thought was what you thought.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Excellent. So we're on the same one. There you go. Okay. So what we did is we went ahead and we pulled all the POs, and I have them right here in this binder for you if you would like to come and see it. Some of them are original. Some of them are copies. I went through every single PO. I went through contracts. I went through scopes of work. Pablo Ramirez also went through some. Mr. Sanchez, who's the energy management administrator, he went through some as well. And we all culminated this report together. I had to go and speak to several personnel from maintenance, for instance, Mr. Gamboa, who's our electrician, Mr. Arechiga, who is our plumber, and several of our other specialists in order to get an understanding of where the project is at, where it began, where it's at, and where it needs to be. So if you look at the report, you can see the main title is, like for instance, the first item is buses. And you can see the description of the buses that were bought, and then on the top you see the PO number, and then you see the project completion percentage. So the first one is buses, Bluebird bus, 273 inches, 71 passengers. We bought eight, we purchased eight, and for $694,160. And then two specialty buses, but then as you can see, there's separate POs. According to our estimation, it is 100% complete. We purchased all the buses that we need purchased.
Phoebe,
yes, sir.
The only thing I don't see is where the original budget for that project on the blue sheet says 1,008,000.
Yes, sir.
Do you show that in the book? Do you show the original budget of the projects in the book? Or do we need to look on the blue sheet for the original budget?
It's an estimated cost, if you see the fourth column.
No, right. On the blue sheet, I'm wondering, did you put the estimated cost in the book?
Yes, I did. If you see on the bottom where it says overall,
yes,
1,007,986.
That's what we spent.
Yes, sir.
But
to complete the project.
What was the original budget?
Sir, I was not privy to that.
That is, all right. And so for the original budget, you got to look at the fourth column on the blue sheet. Estimated cost.
Right, estimated cost part one.
Okay.
Right, and they amended the budget and so forth and so on. They pulled monies from different budgets in order to purchase, like for instance, special education purchase buses. That's why it says separate PO on the bottom of the 100%. And if it's convoluted, please let me know.
Okay.
Okay. So that project is at 100%. Maintenance vehicles, if you can see, we purchased a total of 6, 7, 8, 9, and that one is at 100%. AMS lighting upgrades, now this one's a little bit difficult to understand. Let me tell you why. And I'm gonna let Mr. Sanchez explain this one because he was the one who was privy to this project. Okay, Mr. Sanchez.
Okay, what happened with the lighting upgrades at AMS, that project has been done. There's some exterior lighting that was put out by the football field, by the new Alerete Middle School football field for safety reasons. And that was contracted out through the electric company. The electric company came in and they did an installation of four lamps, exterior lamps. And they did all the installation. They put in a new generator. They did the complete installation. But along with that contract, there's a monthly service fee that is going to be tacked on to our electrical. Okay, part of this contract does also include some type of maintenance program. If anything goes out, if there's any problems, the electric company will come in and they'll handle that at no cost.
And if I understand this correctly, ladies and gentlemen, there was two ways that we could have conducted this project. First project is that we provided all of the materials, all the hardware, and then the El Paso Electric Company would come in and they would install it, and then we paid a lump sum. Okay? The second option was they provide all the hardware, all the installation, but yet they give us a we agreed to a service fee. And as you can see, that was what was elected. And there's the breakdown. What was agreed upon was one 400 watt outdoor floodlight for $1,783 a month. And then there was a high pressure sodium, another one for $1,432 a month. And then there was two 1,000 watt outdoor floodlights for $4,155 a month for a total of $7,370 a month. So that's 100% completed.
So if I might, this is connected to the El Paso Electric grid and not to the district's grid. Is that why we're paying a is it a service fee or is it a no?
It's a service fee and a connection fee. It's a monthly fee.
Are we paying for the electricity watts that we're using?
Yes.
So, okay.
So, in that project list, for instance, that $30,000 is still there. Nothing was expended from that money. Okay.
And we'll see the $30,000 on the blue sheets.
Yes, sir.
Fourth column.
Thank yes, you. Sir. Right. The $30,000, right. So that is at 100%. So that is a huge savings. I'm sorry I didn't estimate and I didn't calculate how much it was going to cost us yearly or anything like that. If you'd like, I can go back and I can calculate that for you. Give you
it would be about $1,000 a month, right? I mean, $1,000 a year.
So. About around there, roughly. Yes, sir. Okay, the next one. Another complicated project. Okay? The AMS pedestrian pathway. That one's a little bit difficult to explain, and Mr. Ramirez will explain that one for you. Or Mr. Sanchez.
Okay, well, basically on that project, the only understanding that I have on that project was that it was supposed to happen. There was some community input from the neighboring community there by Aldeate Middle School, where they did not want that pathway for whatever reason. So that project was put on hold.
Okay, I know the other half of that. They actually disagreed on they wanted the pedestrian path, they disagreed on where, but then they finally came to a consensus, but then the county did not want it to occur or wanted a piece of it. And so in the end, it's the neighbors have agreed where it should go, but they have not gotten permission to move the guardrail. At the end of the cul-de-sac, there's a safety guardrail. And they've not got permission from the county to move it yet. So the new person would need to work with the county to get that guardrail removed so that they could do the work.
And monies were spent on that to tear down the wall, actually start digging up the pathway, but then they went back and they filled it up, as you can see in the pictures. They filled it back up and they rebuilt the rock wall. So basically, they broke it down and then they rebuilt it. So we did have to pay the contractor some monies for that job. And it's at 0%. That's hasn't been touched or anything. But then again, you could go back and say it's at 100% because there's conflict with the county. It just depends how you look at it. But as far as completed work, it's at 0%.
Okay.
May we move on?
Does anybody have any questions? Or, no? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. In the next page, you have the AMS bond upgrades, And that, the agreement was to grade and remove excess soil for new riprap, provide riprap as per detail AA given, provide a new sidewalk, which is 25 feet by 25 feet by 4 feet at a 90-degree angle. And the total was $23,322, and that is at 100%, as you can see from the pictures. And that involves the rock wall and the pathway for the riprap.
Do you have the scope of work on this project? On the ponding upgrades?
Yes.
And my question is, there on the scope of work, does it provide, you were talking about the width and the length of the new sidewalk with the ponding upgrades?
Yes, sir.
Does that, looking at some of the cement, it looks like some of the cement that was already there, did the scope of work include that, or was it, I guess if you look at, the drawing, you see where there's possibly an older sidewalk within that. My question is, on that scope of work, do you actually have, was it to do the whole thing as new, or was it to just patch it? Would you know?
Mr. Ramirez can answer that question for you.
This area right here was built, and that area right here, this is existing. And right here in this corner, they built this, and they built that. And that's from what I see.
I guess my question is, and Dr. Murphy, correct me if I'm wrong, this was probably some of those projects that administration was wanting for us to approve, but they didn't provide the scope of work, and later on, and then still provided while it came.
I have no idea.
Okay. Can we look at that and put it in our Friday packet?
To do what?
Look at the scope of work and see if it included was it the scope of work when it was sent out to bid, did it include the whole thing new, or was that just patched up?
Does anybody know?
We have it right here.
Do you have one?
Is that the contractor's scope of work?
Yes, sir.
And I guess some of the more
detailed
questions, if you just want to write it down, and then we could address it at
sure.
our next facilities if it's going to be lengthier research on that. But Ms. Gassettis has a question.
Also, when they submitted for billing, did they attach a schedule of values along with the project, or no, the contractor?
You know what, to be honest with you, no.
No?
Because it's not here.
Okay. Because typically they should be including that, so we can see the breakdown for material, for labor. They should always include a schedule of values with any projects.
No, these are just quotes, and this is all I have, and this is all we can find.
And I guess some of the questions we have are that they might, and that you need to research, just jot them down, and then that way we could address them
sure,
at the next
absolutely.
Meeting, or for the future projects we make sure.
So you want to know, did the scope of work include a 25 by 25 by 4 sidewalk?
Correct, the full sidewalk.
Got it.
Does anybody have any other questions? No? We could go on to the next.
And statement of values, is that correct?
Schedule of values.
Schedule of values.
Is that like an itemized bill?
Mm-hmm. You can usually give it detail with any invoicing, any kind of whatever material costs.
Ms. Aguirre, do we normally get those?
Some invoices, I can see that information. Others may just be forwarded to facilities. But I can certainly look into this facility.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is Garcia Elementary School pond upgrades, and it calls for a 6-inch thick driveway as per plan going into existing ponds, rock rip wraps at existing spillways, and then also a 1-foot by 7/8-inch white aluminum slats for Garcia Elementary School.
Everybody see okay?
Mm-hmm. And that one came out to a total of $23,000, and then the slats for the fences to kind of like
conceal
the pond was $9,100. In total, overall, was $32,100. And that is at 100% based on the scope of work that was provided.
Okay.
And I will also get the scope of work and schedule the values for you as well on that one.
Go ahead, Ms. Quinn.
Yes, ma'am.
Does the board want to see scope of works on everything?
Just, I guess, the ones that we asked.
So they didn't ask for that one, B. They're only asking for AMS pond.
Okay, sir.
Perfect. Sorry.
Would you like to see?
Excellent.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Quinn.
On the slats, was it done by a vendor similar to an excess appeal? Was it done by a vendor or was it done by in house?
It was done in house.
Good.
And only certain sections are.
Okay, moving on. The next item is BCE, CES, DDE, ADA drinking fountains. And I clumped them all together because they were bought in bulk. Because they were less expensive in bulk than they were if they were purchased individually.
Are we something that we need to look at, and I hope we did it on this, that there's consistency across the products that we buy, whether it's ceiling tiles or water fountains, and that way we don't have diversity, like 10 different types of water fountains and 10 different. The good thing is we were able to purchase by economies of scale on the bulk purchase, but just to make sure that we're purchasing the products that we already have, so that way we don't have 10 different type of products, and that's just something to know.
Okay, duly noted. Well, as you can see on the ADA compliant water fountains for BCE, CES, and DDE, 7 were purchased for Bill Childress, 6 were purchased for Canutio Elementary, 7 were purchased for Deanna Davenport, for a total of $7,073.80. There was also an outside pedestal steel drinking fountain purchased for Deanna Davenport that is ADA compliant, and that one was for $3,658, and they were all installed in-house. However, it's at 50%. Let me explain to you why. Yeah. The reason it is at 50% is because there are insufficient amount of drinking water fountains in the rest of the buildings, according to what we investigated and what we noted. There are no water fountains at CMS. There are no water fountains in the elementaries in the back part where the playgrounds are at. But having said that, there's also no water spouts. So we have to get water spouts as well out there. That's why we felt it was 50% along with the plumber. Mr. Arachiga said that that's what we need in every school. It's necessary. One of the estimates that we did was that it was about approximately 200 feet to the nearest water fountain from the playground or the soccer field. That's a little bit too far for them to run to get water. So that's why that's at 50%. But as far as the ADA water compliant, I mean the ADA compliant water fountains inside the building, they're done.
Mr. Rucker, just have a question.
Go ahead, Mr.
Can we do that in-house then? Our plumbers can put these in?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. When you found this out, was there anything in writing anywhere that indicated that those water fountains were needed outside?
No, ma'am.
This was just a finding that you...
This is just a finding that we came up
with. On your own.
Mr. Chair. Dr.
Well, Mr. Ramirez is telling me that there were several work orders that were put in for the installation of water pumps outside.
And I also see from one document to the other, it says 50% done on this one, yet on the other one it has 100%. On this.
Oh.
You know how we reference it?
Right, yes. Right. Well.
So you'll be changing that too, correct?
Right, and if I may, Phoebe.
Interject.
Yes, sir. Where it shows the 100% on the blue, that's what we're here tonight questioning. Because a lot of these are not at 100%. So that's what we're changing. We have plenty of money, though, in this budget. We have $24,000 for these different items, and even at 50%, we've only spent $3,600.
Yes, sir.
So we will be able to, with the budget, easily put in twice as many fountains.
You spent two times 3,600.
Well, it's 3,600 for one outside drinking fountain.
Oh, I'm sorry,
$7,000 for the inside. I'm talking about the outside. Okay. We still need more water fountains outside.
And you'll be able to bring us that information as to how many are needed outside and how much the cost will be on that?
Yes, ma'am. I have Mr. Arechiga as one of his projects. Raise your hand, sir. Yes. I have him doing that. Great. Absolutely.
Great.
Just real quick, if I might. Looking at the water fountains, it shows that the ones that we purchased, have we implemented those ones that we purchased? We're just saying that there's more that needs to be addressed?
Yes, sir. I made the statement earlier that the inside water fountains are done.
The 7, the 6, and the 7.
Yes.
So the ones that have been purchased, they've been implemented, but we're looking at more areas that we need to address.
Yes. Okay. And that's why I put 50%, because now the outside needs to be addressed.
Okay.
That's why.
Mr. Chair, I also only see, unless I'm missing it, on the blue sheet, all I see is BCE and CES.
It's on the green sheet on the park page, about halfway down, DDE, drinking fountains, $8,000. And we moved it to the green sheet because at the time we knew we hadn't done it, and the green sheet is...
Understand. I just didn't see where they...
That's a very good observation.
Where they did not agree. And with it said that we have money, we have manpower, and we have knowledge, I'm going to hope that that's going to be done really fast because it's getting hot.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, can we look at some kind of timeline even?
That is a project that has been delegated to Mr. Arechiga, and he says he's on it. So right now he's just auditing the campuses, providing me feedback on how many are needed, and then I'll provide you a more detailed report.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all.
Okay. Are we okay to move on to the next one? Mr. Maldonado.
Yes.
Next one?
Yes, sir. The CES, County Elementary School, Indiana Davenport, ADA sidewalk ramp upgrades. CES, the sidewalk repairs and ramps, and they were supposed to demolish the sidewalk and modify and construct three-way ADA accessible curb ramps at the western end of the campus. Diagrams were provided for that. Scope of work was provided for that. At DDE, they were to do the same thing. They were also supposed to modify a parking island. At Canute Elementary School, the PO was $2,258.32. At Deanna Davenport, it was $1,371 plus $1,299 for the island. And it came out to a total of $2,670 overall together, because it was done by the same contractor. It was $4,928.73. It's at 75%, because as the picture shows, ma'am, or ladies and gentlemen, if you could look through the PowerPoint, there is a problem with the island. If you can see at the island, it is constructed about a quarter into the parking space itself, so it's an obstruction. What needs to be done is they need to cut a little bit more on this side of the concrete and expand the sidewalk so it could be ADA compliant and eliminate the obstruction. That's why it's at 75%. and reading the ADA manual, that's exactly what it stipulates, and it's not in compliance if it's not like that.
And that's the contractor, you've already contacted them and they're going to address it and bring it up to compliance, or?
No, ma'am. We are going to do that.
But we paid for the work for somebody else to do it, and they did it wrong, but we're going to fix it.
No. We're going to contact them.
Okay.
And we're going to have a meeting, yes. Okay. We're going to bring them in, and we're going to show them, and then they're going to have to fix it.
The other issue that we have to see is what scope of work we provided. If that's the scope of work we provided, and it wasn't in compliance, then that's something that needs to be addressed.
I have a diagram here if you would like to see it.
Okay. So it does. It's the vendor, the individual that actually did the project, did not follow the scope of work. Is that what it is?
In the diagram, it's correctly drawn out, but they did not follow the.
Okay, then it's
the work. Okay. The diagram.
So they are liable for.
So they have to come and fix it. Yes.
And you'll be contacting them soon.
Yes, ma'am. We will.
Okay, now I'll take us to the next item unless anybody has any questions. Okay,
next item is the ADA van drop-off at Kanuki Elementary and Deanna Davenport. And there are already pre-existing van drop-offs at both campuses. The only POs that I saw were for signs to be erected at those two areas, which say van accessible. Those have not been done yet. They have been purchased. We have them in our possession, and we will proceed to install them. But as of right now, they're only at 75%.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms.
Dr. Murphy, if that's the case, if all this was already there, do you recall when it was done? Because we've allotted a significant amount of money to do it.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
If this project is finished...
Which one, the CESDDE 88 van drop-off? Uh-huh.
Why did we allot money to do something that didn't need to be done? Or do you know when it was done?
Ms. Rose, I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is there a picture of the?
There's no picture because they're the existing ones.
They're existing.
They're existing. We didn't take any
now,
pictures.
Now I do know that this all was involved, especially CES with the audit, the ADA audit.
Yes.
Is it that we had it, but we hadn't marked it, and that was what we were deficient on regarding the audit?
They did. As far as I know, they said that they were not. That was not an issue in the audit.
So all we need to do is put the signs up.
All we need to do is put the signs up, and then I put down that they need to be painted so they can be visible.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
it hasn't been. That's what's been encumbered.
Okay.
So.
Yes. Okay.
No, I'm just looking at the encumbered, but we got it. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Okay. Okay, moving on, we are at Kanuki Elementary School electrical power upgrades. There's been several expenditures in that situation, and it's at 35% because one computer lab has been created and a transformer was purchased, all the electrical upgrades was purchased, but that is all that has been done for that amount allotted. As you can see from the pictures, took a picture of the transformer and the computer lab. They relocated the existing doors, the load center cover with a door, and all of this electrical technological numbers and abbreviations and acronyms, 2-inch SS connector, 2-inch SS coupler, there's the dry transformer. Everything came out to a grand total of $9,128.90. But there are several electrical upgrades that need to be done at CES. For instance, Ms. Parker has already approached us about another computer lab, and they're going to need another transformer because their pre-existing electrical system there cannot take another upgrade. They need another transformer. And this is per Mr. Lamborn, our electrician. That's what he recommended, that another transformer need to be used at CES. But as far as work completed, that's it. So it's at 35% rough work.
Do we know on the original Braun program what was actually the scope of it? Was it just one transformer, or was it several transformers, or what did that include for the $250,000 that we allotted under the Braun program?
If I can recall, I don't think that, I think that the money was going to be spent in the old building, in
to bring it up to par,
because that one didn't have enough power. But I think that once we had the OCR complaint, we had to move that computer lab into the new campus, and that's why we did it.
Okay, so there's still work in
progress. There's still more work to be done for the electrical upgrades throughout that campus. But I think the big part of that money was going to be spent in that old building.
Okay.
Through the chair. Pablo, so, and BB?
Yes, sir.
So the notion that it's only 35% means that you will use, you're saying that bond money would be used to relocate the second computer lab into another room inside the main building.
Yes, sir.
Similar to what we did last summer with that one that's on the
yes. Well, yes,
to get another one like that.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't know if that was in the original scope. No one, I never knew there was going to be a second computer lab put in the main building.
Well, the first one was the first money, the $250,000 was for the old building.
To just do the old.
So there wasn't even bond money for the new building, but we had to do it because of the OCR complaint.
Okay. Well, if we can get a second computer lab now, let's do it.
Not only that, there's more lighting.
I mean, if we could wait till we have somebody on board, then.
Yeah.
But,
I know Ronnie's been upset about not having a second computer lab now that we had to shut down the old building. So that if we can do it with this money.
And I mean, we just have to make sure on the project list that we have this summer that, I mean, we're not just going to go ahead and do something added to it. And we need to make sure that we do our due diligence on that.
Okay, but then it's more, if we're not going to do a second computer lab, it's more than 35% done.
Right.
That's what's taking that percentage way down, is if we're going to do a second computer lab or not.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Murphy, what I'm hearing is that just wait. Let's get like the real person in who knows what the scope of work is.
So don't give her the second computer lab this summer.
Does she need it this summer?
She is asking quite vigorously for a second computer lab.
Yes. Yes. And in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, coming from a campus, you can never have too many computer labs. The technological age that we live in today, they need ready access to these computers. Canutillo Middle School is hurting for a computer lab. AMS is hurting for another computer lab. But the reason that they cannot continue is because they do not have the infrastructure in order to provide that type of convenience or availability for the students. So in my opinion, yes. I think we need to move on the second computer lab. She only has 25 computers in that computer lab, and we went in there and we looked at it, we took pictures of it. 25 computers for the amount of students that she has is not appropriate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let me, Ms. Gonzalez.
Mr. Maldonado, Dr. Murphy. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that campuses are in need of computer labs, and I sympathize with them, but if we don't have the funds, and I know that this is a priority, what you're saying, but if they're given the money and they want to purchase computer labs or computers, and yet they don't have the electrical outings or whatever they need to put that also in their, I guess, put that as a requirement, put it in a purchase order, make sure that they have those needs met too. They need to meet those needs too before they order that.
If I may interrupt, I do know that Ms. Brigham is working closely with the campuses so that as they propose certain, you know, computer labs or addition of technology, that she works with them and explains, okay, in order to have this, you will now need an additional You know, and so we're working with them to make sure that we don't put additional drain on our facilities because we have the funds for the technology itself. So we are working with the campuses and Ms. Brigham so that we try to meet everyone's needs and not end up incurring additional drain.
No, this is just a, this is a perfect example of what's going on.
Well, the question is, I mean, the money's here. Right. If we can do it, see, what I slowed down on, because Connie came to me saying I really needed a second computer lab. And where I didn't just leap on the bandwagon is we don't have the money outside of bond. Right. But what you're showing me today is we actually could use the bond money out of the electrical upgrades because we didn't use all that money.
Correct.
Only at 35%.
Correct.
So we could do it. We could add it to the green sheet and we could get going on it.
I need some clarification because I'm looking at the estimated cost and I'm seeing that we've spent $9,000 and Mr. Ramirez indicated that it was for the old building. Which old building? The old CES, the Lone Star, which wing are we talking here?
It would be the second through fifth grade wing, which is the one right next to the two-story building.
Okay, so this computer lab that we're talking about, that's been, this is for that part of the building, or this is in
no,
the
no,
building?
We had to move it into the new building because it couldn't, it's not ADA accessible to that part of that old building, so we had to move it into the new building. But we would have had a better computer lab in the old building because the rooms are bigger than what we have inside down at the elementary right now.
So the projected $250,000 that, if I might miss.
I'm just guessing that because I remember going to one of those meetings, and we were looking at one of those rooms to change them into a computer lab, and they were having to put a new transformer outside, and that's where the bulk of the money was going to go.
So the projected $250,000 when we first started the bond program was to actually address an old existing building,
right,
which is the two-story building and...
The one before the two-story building. Mm-hmm. It's the second through that the third, through the long hallway.
The one that connects to the old gym.
Right. Okay. So that's what the projected $250,000. And so the 35% completion that you have under the $9,000 that was spent was for addressing one of the two computer labs that are needed by the administrator for that campus, correct?
Yes.
So then the other stuff we'll have to address later when it comes to the electrical upgrades within that building, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question.
Well,
yes.
My question is if we have a lot of this money for the electrical upgrades, that's what we're actually going to do, is we're going to upgrade that campus, especially their exterior lighting. That's an electrical upgrade. All their wall packs are broken. They don't work. And we thought since we have money left over, we can actually do good to this campus, put in another computer lab that was done by our professional electrician, we still wouldn't spend $200,000. We're just requesting that you let us finish something that was gonna be bigger in one side of the building, now it's smaller. 25 computers, I think they were gonna have double that in the other building. I just don't remember. It was a long time ago that we went to that building, a long time ago. And I know some of the board members were there, but I just can't remember how long ago.
I remember very clearly. It was two large computer labs, both of which now are off limits due to ADA.
Yes.
We moved one of them out.
Yes, sir.
It is that one where that picture
right.
is. But the other one's still sitting there. But there was never discussion to move that second one until now.
Yes, sir.
And if we have the bond money to do it, we should do it.
Okay. Ms. Ross?
Dr. Murphy, I mean, I'm the least technical person there is. But I thought everybody's going wireless. What's wrong with this?
No, but that has nothing to do with the wireless. The problem is that we're drawing too much power from the transformers there because we're going to put in 25 more outlets or for each computer. So we're going to draw more power. And what we have there wasn't made for a computer. So we have to come in and he does all that for us. Like he did this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have to put a unit in there. We'd have to put a unit in each one of them.
The way that the electrician explained it to me, and if you would like to hear it from him personally,
I believe you.
It was like this. We keep expanding mm-hmm. the physical structure of the building, but we do not expand the infrastructure of the building. It remains the same.
Understand.
And what happens is when you draw more power out of one transformer, you actually cut its lifespan in half, and then you end up having to buy more transformers over and over and over instead of upgrading it to another transformer and allow it to work at 50% capacity, which will extend the lifespan.
Okay.
And that's how it was explained to me, and it makes logical sense. In my opinion, like I told you, if a second lab was planned for the old CES building, but it had to be brought into the existing building, the new one, because of ADA compliance issues, I don't see why we can't just go ahead and build a second lab for the students if the money was allocated for that in the first place. Different areas, but same school.
Any other questions? Can we move to the next agenda?
You want me to put it on the list?
Yes.
All
right. Or is that okay? Do y'all want it on the green list for the summer?
I mean, committee members.
Okay. Next item.
And kids too. Facilities electrical power upgrades, and this involved fixtures, breakers, 200 amp load centers. I think a power pole, and everything was needed for a wood shop at the facilities at our building. And out of the three POs, the overall expenditure was $3,720.82, but it's at 35%. The items have been purchased, but they have not been installed.
Is that what makes it 35%?
Yes, sir.
So they're all, everything's purchased?
All of this is purchased, it's just waiting to be installed. But like I told Mr. Gamboa, excuse the pun, but he's the thinnest man in the district because everybody wants a piece of him. He's just thinning himself out because he has so many projects, it's unbelievable. So this was left for last so we can address the schools. And that's commendable on his part. I commend him because he wants students to have the best, and then we can come second. And so that's why that's at 35%. The lighting in the building has not been done. We still have high bay HID lights. Is that how they're called?
High bay lights.
I'm learning from it. High bay lights. We still have several of them, and we have not retrofitted to the new energy efficient T8s.
Yeah.
T8s. As you can see from the picture. This is the wood shop. This is a current picture. So he already did that area, but we have not done the rest of the facilities. So we are at 35%.
Next item.
Okay, next item is the CHS flooring improvements in the band room. This was PO number 200-104. And this was to furnish and install CNA carpet, and the carpet is called Fielding. Furnish and install vinyl cover base. Furnish and install ceramic tile 12x12. Furnish and install reducers, removal and disposal of existing carpet, removal and disposal of ceramic tile, removal and disposal of existing vinyl cover, prep and level floor, remove existing adhesive, for a grand total of $14,975.80, and that is absolutely at 100%. It is done, as you can see from the pictures. The kids are in there and they're enjoying it.
Okay, next
item.
Just go on the items unless we start asking questions.
All right, okay, well I'm waiting, yeah. I'm pausing.
No problem.
CMS lift station upgrades, PO 202068. Install concrete slab and perimeter fence. A grand total of 4,960, it's at 35%. The reason it is at 35% is Mr. Ramirez, who is in charge of the lift stations, can explain more.
We were going to purchase a controlling system for our lift stations. Garcia right now has a lift station alarm, that if the pumps turn off or they go out, it sounds an alarm inside the campus, but it doesn't notify me. The only way is when they notify me. So we don't want any sewage coming out because we can get a violation. So we were looking into purchasing a system that would be compatible with one of my computers, a laptop, or a cell phone, so that if for any reason something would happen to our lift stations, that they would notify us. So that's why we had 35%, because that was the, I remember the scope of that work, and that was to do that. The concrete and the fencing was only for security for the kids, but we were supposed to get a controlling system for that, mm-hmm. and we haven't done it.
And also upgrading the pumps.
Right, we've replaced three pumps at Galantio Middle School. We have a total of four. We also might have to, not yet, I don't know yet, I haven't been involved with the wastewater treatment plant, how it's going to be removed. But it, my guess is if they're going to build a lift station, I asked them when they first met them, is our five horsepower pumps, are they going to be able to handle the load to take it to their lift station? So we might have to upgrade to a 10 horsepower or whatever the engineer from the people I use recommend. But we didn't allocate money for that. So we're hoping that if there's any money left over from there, we pay for that. Because remember, we're still going to keep our lift stations. We have a total of two lift stations at CMS, one at Garcia, one at Bill Childress, one at AMS, and that's all. And then there's one also in CMS, but it's only used for stormwater.
Okay. The same applies to the next item, which is Bill Childress Elementary lift station upgrades. Oh, it's Garcia Elementary. I'm sorry, there's a typo there. This is Garcia Elementary School. Sorry about that. And this was the lift station upgrade. It was a PO number 202098. And that one is also at 35% based on the information that Mr. Ramirez provided right now.
Okay.
Next item. The next item is CMS paint project, exterior cafeteria and gym. There was several POs cut on this particular project for a grand total of $14,032.03. We actually measured the square footage and it actually comes out to 77% complete, but we followed the legend that was provided to us. And so it's at 75% complete. And the reason is that 20,685 square feet total. Out of that total, 13,785 square feet were painted, and what's left over is 6,900 square feet unpainted.
Do we have enough paint to paint that, or is it, what's the reason why it's not at 100%?
My understanding is that we need to purchase more paint.
Okay, and we did that in-house?
Yes, sir.
Are we able to do it in-house, or do we need a...
We can do it in-house.
We can do it.
So, then I guess what we would need to do is to make it 100% complete is purchase more of that paint.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're looking at that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Next.
Item.
The next one is the CMS roof upgrades. Weight room ag building, which, well, is the old Canutillo High School agricultural building and welding shop. The PO is $200,479, and it's what the scope of work was to re-roof the existing weight room at the agricultural building, provide 2,100 square feet of new lead decking, remove and reinstall evaporative coolers with new stands or a package, tandem light fixtures, copper wiring, 4 feet. This one's on the green sheet.
On the green sheet? Okay, that's
yes.
Right. So it's not an early bird project?
It was, but it's been moved to finish for the green for summer 2012.
And why was it not on the...
It was on the original. It's one of the three that we know are not finished, so we went ahead and moved to the green sheet.
So wouldn't you put it in the bond series program, early bird project, and then?
Right, and it says that. It's, where is it on the green?
So almost halfway done.
Where it says
roof upgrades, if you go all the way to the right, it says EB. It was on the early bird. It's only 50% complete, so the feeling was to finish it this summer.
How many other projects were moved to the green list that aren't?
Three. The bottom one, the wetlands, that one, and then two below it, the drinking fountains.
And that's because the completion is at 0%?
Or at some point, 10%, 50%, 50% in that white column.
Okay.
Now what I'm hearing tonight is we need to add some more to the green sheets, which also, because we can't just do everything, we might need to pull stuff off the green sheet that are new projects to make sure we finish. We'll have to look at all that.
Yes, sir. In continuation, the total overall expenditure for the agricultural re-roofing was $78,590. And it's at 50%. The reason being is there was no air conditioning or heating purchased for this project. So we need to purchase that and install it. There was also no ductwork purchased for this project, so we need to purchase ductwork and install it. And that's where we're at.
Okay. The next item?
I have a question about the hole in the wall.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where the air conditioner will go?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
They felt that it was better to put it on the side instead of penetrating the roof.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, facilities heating system. And this is strictly based upon Mr. Gamboa's information to me. We were supposed to purchase new heating units for the transportation shop area, which are old dilapidated Reznor gas units. What he did was go ahead and actually fix them and make them operable. So nothing was spent on that project, but it is still at 0%.
Well, what do you mean by that? Because that was like the first project that was completed. Are you saying you're not satisfied with what was done and you want a different setup? Because it is heated. Those bays are heated now, correct or no?
They're heated, sir, but according to their information, it's insufficient.
It's insufficient, okay.
And originally it was planned to actually change that system out, sir.
Okay.
And that has not been done.
No.
They've only been repaired.
I have a question. Will we do that in-house? We have an HVAC person. Will that person do that and replace the system?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, the next item is the facilities maintenance equipment. And there's various purchase orders. One for $7,000, one for $6,000, and another one for $4,000. And there was a fourth one for $22,000. All of these are maintenance equipment that was purchased for the daily duties of our maintenance department. That is at 75% because further equipment needs to be purchased.
If I might real quick, I see here we purchased steel, which is a good product. Are we the same thing? Are we doing consistency within that? And are we purchasing a product that is, you know, if we're going to need to do some either maintenance work or have to fix something, or we're, you know, I had heard in the past we would purchase something from Home Depot and that type of product was changed out and they didn't have any more. But are we purchasing a good product for our maintenance people, and that way we're able to have some consistency within that?
Yes, sir. We've purchased in the past John Deere equipment, and we will still purchase John Deere equipment, and we also bought the steel. The steel, we went with steel because, and there was two competitors between John Deere has the opportunity to sell steel, and a local company here were cheaper, so we went with them, and they also do maintenance to them if we ever need them to do it.
Okay. So we're using steel?
Steel.
That's what we're using in John Deere.
Yes, the tools, the $22,000 is what the board awarded at one time to purchase a large amount of hand tools. They're all good tools, DeWalt, and we still need a lot more. That's why we're hoping that we can use what's left.
Okay. And what we currently have, is that efficient, or are we looking at?
We're looking at something bigger. We're hoping to come back to your next meeting and ask you to present to the board to let us buy a skid steer, which we don't have. We don't have the tractor that we have right now is what we had when back from 22 years ago. We don't have big equipment.
And a lot of the, if I may interject, a lot of our larger projects, according to our irrigation specialist, who usually goes and does the and operates the backhoe, we have to wait a long time for projects because we have to wait for the availability of renting a backhoe. So that kind of prolongs projects as well. And that's why.
And that's in the budget? Are we able to?
Well, we have $32,000 left. That's not enough. In equipment, and that's where we're pretty close to what we're trying to buy.
To get the skid steer
with implants. No, the backhoe we'd have to do something next year. Yeah. But the skid steer with I think it was four implements, mm-hmm. It's pretty close to $38,000.
New? Good deal.
Yes.
New, brand new.
Brand new.
$318,000. We're hoping that, because we get a 24% discount.
Yeah.
And if I may interject as an outsider looking in, coming new to this department, I think that if we provide the proper equipment to this department, not only will it expedite projects, but it will also lessen manpower, which will allow them to continue more projects. It will also expedite the process in which things are done, which creates a safer environment. I really think that this is a very optimal thing to purchase.
And that's what I'm, I hope we're able to look at it, and if we do need to purchase anything else, you know, if we have the small John Deere that we're using compared to the skid, you know, we're putting more wear and tear on the smaller product when we could be doing a more efficient job.
Absolutely.
And something that's gonna, so, and the other issue too is, I know in the past when we were in the budget crunch, Martha, that we look at the long term of making sure we go back to the levels of funding it where we need to make sure that we're getting the job done.
And in the last 2 years, I have increased the facilities budget quite considerably from the first year that I came on board, having only $200,000 to, we're up to a $500,000 allocation for facilities.
Okay. So that's good. The better, you know, the more efficient we're able to become, the better it is for the district and for all of us. So,
absolutely.
Any other questions on the maintenance? No?
I just wanted to clarify, you are going to get the skids here?
We're going to present it to you. And then we're going to need approval because it's 38.
Well, yes, but you have the funding, the capability is there.
We're almost there.
Okay.
We're almost there.
Okay, item is facilities capital outlay equipment. And this was the items that were purchased for the trucks whenever they were purchased new. And the PO was to Alamo Auto Supply, and it included truck bed toolboxes, the ladder racks, and several other things, bed liners. And that's at 90%, and the reason that I say it's 90% is we all agreed that we needed fire extinguishers and first aid kits in every single truck. I found out through Mr. Miranda, which is the transportation supervisor, that that's not a mandate per se, but it's ideal for our maintenance personnel to have safety equipment in their trucks. And that's what's pending. That's why it's at 90%. But I would like to use the rest of that budget in order to purchase those items, which are fire extinguishers and first aid kits with an eye wash.
Was under the estimated cost, was that under the, was it projected on the estimated cost part one? Is it, it's blank, is that just something where we amended it?
To be honest with you, sir, all I know is there's $1,789 in there, and I need to buy fire extinguishers and first aid kits.
Okay.
And that is all that I believe that is necessary for the trucks to be complete. Oh, I'm sorry, and also non-slip mats. It came with just the rubber flooring, and it becomes very slippery after they go and do a job that involves a leak, or like the ponding issues that we have right now where water just accumulates in certain areas. Well, when they get in, it's kind of slippery. So I would like to buy non-slip mats for them as well.
Okay. Any other questions? No? That'll take us to next.
The next item is the wetlands upgrades at Bill Childress Elementary. This is PO number 200-480, and the PO was for $20,000. It's at 10% because the only thing that has been provided is a rough design of what is proposed by Natural Systems International out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this is all that's been provided. It's just a rough drawing and rendering of what needs to be done. But as far as the schematic design, construction, and bidding documents, as of today, nothing has been produced.
Through the chair, this is the other item that we moved to the green sheet even before this meeting. And this is also one of the items that we've already talked to Al Loya, our miscellaneous architect, about getting right on this and helping so that we can get it completed. So, if I could add
a little bit. Hold on, I have a question. Why do you need to talk to the architect for that? The wetlands?
Scope of work. I don't know what to do. Do you guys know what to do?
I thought
we hired NSI to give us the scope. Mr. Pete Munoz is going to be speaking with Ron Gallen so they can put the bidding documents together. But the scope of work is here. They have to get together now.
I do have a little update on that. I did talk to Pete today on that. He apparently had sent that to Mr. Armendariz back in January. We haven't seen it. He also said he sent it to me, and I didn't receive it either. So I'm assuming we talked about it today. He tried to send it to me again, and I never got it on my email, so I told him apparently it was probably too large of a file for our email system to carry. So he's supposed to be emailing me a link that I can go to and link into it and download those documents, so I should have it within a week. So we have been working on it. I've been waiting on it. I've been asking Mr. Armendariz for about 2 months for it so we can get started on it. So, because I think that's what
we're Well, if we have that, then we won't need Al.
That's what the $20,000 was for. There's supposed to be some drawings and the scope of work. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on it, but I can tell you, I did talk to him today.
So we're at 10% on that project. And the last, but not least, is our CHS football field turf replacement. And as of this past Saturday.
You need to update that number.
I need to update that number. As of Saturday, we went and we audited the work that was done this Saturday, and it's at 100%. Seams have been fixed. The rubber pallets have been distributed on top of the turf, and they have been laid, and it's done. So as of right now, it is at 100%.
I have a question. Coach Brooks, the turf?
There were four people on Saturday afternoon, BB, myself, Pablo, and Coach Brooks. We all walked the field with the vendor. He spent about an hour and a half walking it with us. In our walk, we found two more things he needed to do. He very quickly did them, and we signed off, all four of us, that it is fully complete. And that extra 18,000 pounds of rubber the vendor put on, is just fantastic. It's taken it to a whole other level regarding safety and a whole other level regarding performance. It's all done.
They also took care of a couple of problems that we had at AMS.
Yes, they went over all the red tape, fixed a couple of the seams that were coming up.
Oh, that was nice.
They were very professional. They were here no more than 4 days, Thursday, 3.5 days, and got it all done. They were very professional. He called me at least twice a day. I went out and visited Friday after work. I was there Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Very, very, very well done. And we're real thrilled to be able to say that the Blue and Orange Turf is 100%.
Yes, 100% complete.
Okay. Sure. So this figure is correct, Dr. Murphy, $400,699?
No, remember, that is, and then, you know, that is including the reimbursement that we received for the burnt turf. Officially, the bond document said that the turf would come in at $350,000. The turf came in at $351,500. It came in $1,500 over budget, $1,500. That's how much we spent after the reimbursement.
Okay. Any other questions? No. And this completes the early bird project, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know, I take back what I said. As this has gone on, we can move right on into the next one if you'd like. We've pretty much talked about all the stuff I was going to talk about.
What do you mean?
You had called for items G and H, and we can keep going. It's fine.
Is this what? That was just item G, right?
Uh-huh.
So on item G, I'm just going to open it up to a public, just to, if there's any questions or anything, if that's okay with my committee members. Yeah. Does anybody have questions under the early bird list? No? If I hear none, then I'll take it to the next item, which, can you read it into the record? Yes.
Summer, fall 2012 bond projects, Mr. Maldonado, Mr. Amidas, and Dr. Murphy.
I'll just stay up here. Chairman and board members, audience members, Bibi and Pablo have done, and Joe and everyone have done great work in all what you've already seen tonight. In the same meeting where I called for the audit of the early bird, we also laid out plans as we move forward for late spring, summer, and fall, another set of projects. And that is found on page 5 of your legal sheet, where we're calling it the green sheet. And the proposal, and it's just a proposal, is that these are our next set of priorities. That the green sheet would be the things that we would again gear up for and move toward. We went through all of this. We moved the early bird projects over that we knew weren't even close to being done, like the wetlands, the drinking fountains, and the roof. And then we also went through everything to pull out. This is where we were. Then the gentlemen went and they did their audit. And as they were going through their audit, I now realize that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 12 items from their audit that are now going to need to go on the green sheet, or at least the majority of them. So the notion of getting on these is what we want to do. Al Loya in his miscellaneous architecture work and his scope of work could come on and start with the scope on a lot of these projects, and we can get going on, and so we don't waste the summer. A big ticket item, if you will, you'll notice a ton of work at CES from item number 7 all the way down to item number 16. CES is not hosting any summer school this summer. The building is completely accessible, and so we wanted to get into CES and do as much work, and that's why adding the second computer lab probably would be smart this summer, because it's going to be completely accessible to workers all summer long. So we need to meet again now that audit's complete, so we could jostle it and move some of the stuff over to the green sheets that were on the early bird that aren't finished. But this is what we propose. Guys, you want to say anything? Pablo, Joe,
maybe
anybody?
Can I, just a couple questions or something that we might want to look at, just to number the projects, so that way when we're referring to them. The other thing that I thought we had put it in the last stuff that we had asked Ernesto, was to actually put the timeline when you're looking at the projection start date, as well as the finish date of that project. That way we can know where we're at, and therefore, if we're on time on that project. Does anybody have questions regarding the project list? And this is what we're looking at for the summer?
Yeah, as soon as we basically start tomorrow, this would be the list. We would need to create scopes of work, timelines.
Well, we can't do any of that till.
Yes, we can without.
First, yes. We would have to approve the contract.
You mean with, Cramp, yes, I apologize. And that's one of the things we're going to go over in the other items. The architecture contracts are all in process now with the attorneys, including Dimensions, Alloya. They're well along. I think within the next week we'll be starting to see them come in. There's four that are in process right now with the attorneys.
The other issue that we're going to look at as well is we got a larger pool of applicants, right? And we're going to, I guess my concern is that we look at that void as fast as we can as well.
I guess, if the timeline needs to be lengthened in the sense that we want to wait a little bit, I guess what I want to get across to you is this is the next group, whether we start it tomorrow, a week from now, 3 weeks from now. If there's anything that the board wants to add, or you're thinking, oh no, let's not do that, this is the time to tell us.
I have a question. Dr. Murphy, you feel, pertaining to the green sheet, you feel pretty confident that you'll hit at least most of these projects?
Yes, although I do want to have one more meeting now that the guys have shown us that there's items from the blue sheet that aren't finished. So we're going to need to add those to the green. Well, when we add them to the green, just like the electricity comments, we're going to expand, but we're not expanding the base. There might be some stuff we now want to take off because it's going to become an overbearance. So I want to look at it one more time. Although it's just 12 more items, we might just add them all and go. Do you guys have an opinion about that? Do we just leave the 32 and then just add the 12 on top, or do we?
Well, let me make a quick disclaimer, and Martha can interject. We met to discuss the CES projects. The majority of these CES projects, and that you might want to explain that better because she has more background on it, involves a pre-existing situation that needs to be addressed, and all of these will be collapsed into one project by one vendor, which you have, to my understanding from reading the documents, and I've read it like 5 times, you have already approved that project.
This is in response to the OCR complaint that was filed against CES, and so basically it's definitely revamping the playground area to make it more safe and accessible to the students. And throughout the bond projects that we have in 2006 and in 2011, there's several named CES playground area. And so, in essence, some were for, say, the sprinkler system or the grass area, others were paving, others were canopies, others were playground equipment. And so, as you put them all together, they are close to approximately $300,000. And so, in essence, they do have a quote for a turnkey type of project on the entire playground area that we're considering and definitely requesting approval to move forward, which we have been in communication with Dr. Murphy about. There is a timeline that we must meet with the OCR complaint.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Maldonado, because you say you're grouping it all in one, I noticed that there's already a contractor listed here. Is that your vision to just award it to that contractor or not?
That, okay.
Mr. Ramirez can explain that better.
The OCR complaint is going to be handled by Extraplane. You awarded them $156,000 to come and put in ADA compliant padding and two playground sets. They're going to take care of all that. This Milalón was contracted to do the sidewalks to those areas, but we went ahead and canceled the work because he wanted more money because he really didn't quote the right way.
He underestimated
the quote of the work. So now, when we're going to wait till all that work is done And then we're going to hire somebody to come. We get three quotes for that to give us a quote to have all the ADA sidewalks to each of those places accessible to the kids.
Okay. So where it says encumbrances on the side, has that money already been paid to them?
No.
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 Okay, so.
No, I canceled the PO.
You did altogether. Yes,
yeah, the PO. Yes.
Okay.
And I have a question. On some of these projects, are we going to use Mr. Loya for every project in the screen?
No, list? No, just okay. Ones that we need.
Okay.
Just ones that we need.
So, as I was stating earlier, I know it looks overwhelming, but some of this mm-hmm. is going to be condensed into one project. So really, we still have, I mean, I don't want to overstate something and say, oh yeah, well, we're going to thin ourselves out, spread ourselves thin. But no, what I'm trying to say is that it looks overwhelming, but one of these projects, which is a major project, will be condensed into one.
Also, Mr. Malone, I have another question. In yes, meeting and discussing and collaborating with your team, what do you foresee that we're going to need to contract Mr. Dimensions partnerships for how many of these projects? I mean, have you discussed it with your team? Have you guys looked at it?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
And we are going to need them for several of the projects. Can I give you an approximation? No. But we came to a consensus that some of these major projects have to be done by him. Okay. But the other ones we can handle ourselves, as a matter of fact.
We have one tonight on the agenda, the track reseal.
Okay.
Would be one to do two tracks, both CHS and CMS.
The only extra play has already turned into quote and a scope of work. If we change anything from there, if we bring Mr. Loya in to change anything from there, that might void what you already awarded him, because this job was turned in with a scope of work, and the quotation has all the scope of work, what's going to be done. And it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get the padding, and if we want it done in the summer, we have to hurry. And he'll take 4 to 5 weeks from start to finish, because CES will be closed. He can do everything right away.
And this does have a schedule of hours.
Okay.
Yes, great.
Broken down.
Completely.
It's excellent.
If I might interject on the extra play also, that was taken to the board for approval, but yes. I believe it was about 6 weeks ago. We're going to have to check to make sure he's going to hold these prices, because I think he only guaranteed the prices for 30.
We spoke to him, and he didn't even know that he got awarded. So right. He's just waiting for us.
Right.
He's waiting for us to give him a
He was extremely piece. Happy. He was yes. ecstatic, as a matter of fact.
He will be able to hold the prices.
Yes, he's holding his prices as long as we don't change anything on the scope of work, because we asked for colors of the tile, and we had we've got the colors of the playground, and he said, well, this is what I quoted you, and this is what I can do.
Okay, so we might need to get a letter from them updating that he'll guarantee the prices for another 30 days. Or so we have
he's just waiting for us.
Okay. If you can get that, I'll talk
yes,
to
I'll talk to you.
Also, when you start talking about combining these projects, the Texas Occupational Code states that any project or modification to any building that exceeds $100,000 has to have an architect.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful how we're combining these.
No, well, we were talking about combining is what you had taken to the board and got approved for $156,000.
Right.
All the AD issues, that's the only thing that we combined. That's
the way they're broken down
yes.
in the account code
yes.
based
right.
on what
right.
Mr. Amandadis had originally
right.
requested and how we're going to mix them, combine them to actually pay for one.
Right. And this vendor is not going to ask for any payment until it's completely signed off by the superintendent, the principal, and ourselves.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Personally, I would like for all those additions to the priority list, all those things that came up,
yes.
to be added to the priority list, and then for them to give us a timeline, and then go from there. I don't know how the rest of the board feels.
Are you able to do a gap, the timeline?
I'm sorry?
The timeline. Let's say here's the RFQ. Within the 3 weeks, or not the RFQ, but the proposal, the scope of work, the proposal, the bid, and then let us know when that project, the timeline you're looking at.
Okay.
For completion.
Sure.
So are we okay then with the list moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Does anyone see anything they don't want us to do, or are we? Is there something that we're missing?
Unless something that you all know.
We feel pretty confident. The only thing I'm concerned about is adding 12 items to this, because we were already kind of going, ah.
Well, in our discussion amongst ourselves and amongst the team, we felt that we really needed to do or address the 2006 projects. Simply
and close out.
Which are, they're on the green.
Right, and that's, as speaking to your priority list, we believe that the 2006 bond projects needed to be expedited as soon as possible. So as far as this gives you a little idea of the prioritizing of these projects.
So. Okay. So we're in agreement to recommend it to the full board to move forward?
Well, we weren't going to bring this to the board. We were just going to start.
Okay. It doesn't need approval? What's go ahead.
Mr. Maldonado, I'd like to commend you and your entire team. Speaking personally, this has been quite an eye-opening experience. And I want to thank you for taking the project on with your team and helping us complete it.
Well, I truly appreciate the comment, and we take it very dearly because I want to let you know, and I want to speak very frankly. These individuals are, I mean, they're just biting at the bit to get this stuff done. They have so much investment in our district. I value each and every one of these individuals. They have opened up my eyes to a lot of things. They're extraordinary individuals. These individuals are extraordinary individuals. I back them 100% any day. And these individuals want to get in there and they want to work, but it's like I've explained to them, and we have daily meetings, I explain to them, public entities work very differently than private entities. We have a lot of red tape. We have a lot of processes that we have to go through. And this is why I brought them here tonight, so they can understand what encompasses our procedures in a public entity. So they can understand what it takes to move forward. So with that said, I want you to know that if you give us the green light, we will go and do the best that we can. But thank you very much for that comment. I know they truly appreciate it. I know I do.
I'd like to echo Ms. Mendoza's sentiment. I cannot believe, we Eagles are the best. That's why we're good here in Canyon Geo.
Absolutely.
Why we're the best. I mean,
yes, ma'am.
We believe in y'all, and you've come through. You've stepped right up to the bat. I can't believe, Mr. Maldonado, that you've just stepped in and taken this on. It's quite a challenge, but I know that without a great team, it couldn't have happened. We appreciate it so much. When Dr. Murphy told me a month or so ago, Mr. Armendar said resigned, I just wanted to go, and tear my hair out. I thought, oh no, not in the middle of everything. Y'all have picked it up and run with the ball. It's awesome.
I want you to know that it speaks to their efficiency and their professionalism because they've held it together. And they all came together and we rallied. And they knew the information, and they put their input. And I said, no, Mr. Molyneux, no, this is the way it went. And I remember this, and I remember that. And here's this, and here's that. And we all came together as a team, and I honestly think we did a great report.
It's a superior report.
So, yeah, but if I don't mind the...
I think we stand and
put ourselves on the back.
I want to apologize first for actually we had discussion on it a while back, but it's a great thing that we're able to go into some of these projects and really address the needs that are there, and I think I'm thankful, and I'm proud of the employees that we have here, and I know we'll get it done. So
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I just want to echo the superintendent. Baby, you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you for your leadership. Pablo, Joe, first one, fantastic, thank you. Everyone's had a good spirit about it, and we're moving through this transition. Really great. Guys, thank you so much for all you do. Really appreciate everything that is done, because it is absolutely true that this district does not move forward unless everyone in this room right now moves forward and gets it done. Absolutely. We fall down, and I appreciate that we're not falling down, and we're making some strides even in this. And I welcome this criticism and this notion that all this work still needs to be done. Now we know. The key is being transparent. Now we know. Now we go out and we fix and we go forward.
But the good thing is this team is ready to go.
Yeah.
Good.
They're not stuck in mud. They want to get it done. So that's the good thing. We need to use that in order to accomplish these things, if you give us the opportunity.
Thank you. And let me just real quick, if any community member, I'm going to leave it on this one, if anybody wants to ask any questions. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
Hi, my name is Adrian Medina. I'm the vice chair. Some of my members here are here for the Community Bond Accountability Committee. I know most of you guys. You did a great job. You know, everyone's obviously, by no fault of yours, you put together a lot of stuff. You've audited what we've always asked for, which was the projects.
Thank you, sir.
The one comment I have to say is we talked about the early bird projects and how the misinformation was there, whether it was lack of information coming to the right people or whatnot. That being said, the summer projects that are now slated, now we're talking about adding more without any accountability. We don't question if you guys can do the job. I know you guys can do the job. It's the actual scheduling the projects, the knowledge of the whole scope of it and treating it as just one giant one. To modify monies, to move it from here to there, there needs to be somebody accountable to that. And Dr. Murphy, nothing against you, you're a superintendent. You're not really a construction architect. And I have to say that again because it's important. We're here as community members on our day off, you know, on our time off here, and we're trying to show you guys that we care, we want it to be accountable. And you've given us more information tonight, yeah, maybe, than we've had since I started asking for this stuff. Was it February last year? I think it was, right? I said, give me the detail of the scope. Now you guys are getting it, which is good. But I would say, if you guys have a large pool of qualified applicants, wade through them, wait until that happens. And I know Ms. Parker's probably going to give me an earful for not giving her a computer. But you know what? Everybody's got a long list of wish items. And I think we just need to step back and say, look, we tried early bird once. It just didn't work out. Not to the fact of you know, our people, but just there was too many moving pieces. And nobody has that qualification. Nobody on this board does. I don't. I'm a smart guy, but I ain't that smart. So I would just, you know, hopefully you can hear our concerns as a CBAC and say, put somebody ahead of this, make them accountable, aside from somebody that's paid, somebody that's a third party.
Thank you, Mr. Medina.
Thank you. And that will take us.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Mr. Beebe.
Yes, ma'am.
I was very hesitant first. And the Murphy recommended you. I have no regrets now. And I want to commend you on the boundary staff, this group, and this group over here. And that's what I'd like to say from you. You are doing a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support.
And I get to hear it out there. And you have all of these members that are sitting here.
Well, I just want you to know that when I was approached to come in and help, I believe that it is our duty to be flexible and help the district in any way possible. That is my posture. I did not question. I did not say anything. I just went in with an open mind. And sure enough, the support was there. The professionalism was there. The loyalty, the willingness to work was there. And those are the building blocks for success. And I mean, I can't tell you that it's an easy job. It's not. It's very hard. But I will tell you that we are able to move forward because of them. And we will continue to move forward, in my opinion. And the reason that we need to continue to move forward is for the students. They need it. They require it in order for them to be successful. And I think all of us are here for that. And, you know, as a former Marine, they tell you that you don't get appreciated enough. But we do what we need to do, and that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
I was very impressed by this whole presentation. And I know the capabilities of the people that you have.
Absolutely.
And you being able to see it and utilize it and bring it all together as a team, and you keep using the word team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That right there is what it takes.
Absolutely.
A complete team for everybody to work together. And that's when you're going to get things done. And you've been able to do that. And I'm really proud about everyone being here and doing this. And yes, they have a vested interest in this.
Absolutely.
We all do.
Mm-hmm. More than you
know. I'm very proud of you guys. Very proud.
More than you know.
Absolutely.
They have an extremely invested interest in our district. Mr. Calderon, I taught two of his kids. Mr. Arechiga has his daughter there at our school. Where am I?
I got grandkids.
Grandkids from Ruben. I mean, all of their children come to our schools, and they know that if they have a clean, secure, safe environment, everything else falls into place and they will be successful. And that's all they're asking for, is for them to be able to be productive. And that's it. So actually, my job's in that aspect is very easy.
Yes.
Paperwork is difficult. But you tell us what we need to do and we will follow.
You will.
Well, thank you.
You will hear from us. So.
I appreciate it.
We have no trouble doing this.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May we be excused?
That's the super. Doc, there. That was the only two items, right? That we needed that.
Right. Yeah.
Do you want me to take the recess?
Are you gone?
This is Gloria.
Okay, and that will take us. Tony, if you could take us to the next agenda.
Item 2A is review of warrant list for March 1st through the 31st, 2012. Mrs. Aguirre.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, do you have any questions?
No.
Patsy, do you have any questions? Ms. Soros?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Grandma was busy. Ms. Aguirre, on page 1. At the bottom of the page, really, it's not so much what it is. It was noted that it's Energy Star. I believe that we have policy, that the whole state has policy, that there is something about Energy Star, and I'm going to guess it's in the C series, that happens good to us for doing that. And I'm sorry, I'm not more on top of it.
Get some type of rebate.
Something. There's something, and you know, maybe a pat on the back. There's something good. It's the second detail. It's for $310, and it's like it's for a laptop. Is that enough money to buy a laptop?
I didn't think you could buy one for that machine.
I would have to look into that. I don't know what that coding means.
Okay. No, I didn't either. I couldn't quite figure out what that was.
It may be a netbook, but let me find out.
Okay. I see on page 38, we've got control and equipment company for $1,116.03. Is it for one of our boilers or one of the things that we've been waiting on?
Sorry, where were you?
38.
That's for nothing.
It may be something that was, you know, broken, art, but let me find out.
Okay.
I would have to look into it.
I guess we just let the guys all go. I have asked Dr. Murphy about this. This is, I'm looking at page 45, but you don't need to bother to look. I've asked Dr. Murphy, I know we don't have anybody on board right now in the position, but I believe that we could actually provide our own fuel to our own buses, and in so doing get rid of fees and taxes, that other school districts do this.
Through the chair, we don't pay taxes.
No, but I think we pay the excise fee.
The blue diesel was the thing you told me. We looked into it, and if you want me to bring a report back, I will. We found that it would be more expensive than what we currently pay.
Okay, that's what I needed. I didn't.
Find
okay,
that out.
Good.
And Juan was—he's out there.
It's okay. I just wanted if we could.
We're actually getting a better deal.
Okay, that's all I want to make sure we're saving money. Page 51. We've got to Servpro of West El Paso for $22,000. Was that covered by our insurance? It was for the flood, I'm sure, here at Central Office.
It would be covered by the insurance.
So that's just turnaround, am
right.
I correct? Okay.
What page were
you on? 51.
Right.
Page 120, and this isn't so much about the entry here as it is, I called Dr. Murphy today. The board expressed desire to oppose the appraisal of the Obispo Quarry.
Right. He did mention that to me, and I will get on.
And we have to go through the proper channels to do that. Profit Plus on page 200 for $6,300.50. It looks like it's for fundraiser. And I just wanted to make sure that it's going through all the proper channels. Everything's good. Everybody's going to make the right profit.
I will look into the status of this fundraising activity.
Okay. And this may sound like a really stupid question, but I just don't know. Page 270. Every month we send away our mop heads and our towels, and it always says the dirty ones are dropped off and replaced on a monthly basis. They surely change those mops more than once a month, huh? Or they just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you have to use the same dirty mop?
They bring enough of them to last them a month.
Okay, so there's it's not just one person gets one mop.
Yeah, no, they change them out.
Okay.
At least every 3 or 4 days.
Okay, good.
It's
thank
enough
you.
To last them for a month.
Okay, but they're getting more than one.
Yes.
Very good, thank you. You know, a couple of times through the warrant list, I saw different projects that were done, and it was written scope of work, and the scope of work was very simple. And we have been somewhat hung around the axle, Dr. Murphy, on the scope of work on these projects. It's not going to be real hard.
No.
You know, I'm just looking in the warrant list. They write the scope of work. Remodel, move south door entrance north, demolition, It's not like anybody's asking for brain surgery.
When we had our meeting at the attorney's office with Dimensions Partnership, Mr. Loya was very clear in that he has a person on staff that
right.
is a young architect who's really a go-getter. He thinks he can put them on a list of 30, 35 items and just knock them out
great.
Very quickly.
Because I have to agree with that. I don't think it's the rocket science we've been acting like
and,
it was.
But Monica's also correct. A lot of these items aren't even going to need a scope of work outside of what even Paulo and Joe can do. So
exactly.
It's not going to be a huge deal.
Yes, I agree. That's all. Thank you very much, Ms. Kittle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Gonzalez? No? Ms. Casares? Are we in agreement to recommend
yes.
it? Okay. We're in agreement to recommend it to a full board. Can you take us to the next step?
Item B is review of district financials for March 1st through the 31st, 2012, to include discussion of remaining 2006 bond funds or projects.
Ms. Quintana, any questions?
No, sir.
Ms. Mendoza?
No, sir.
Ms. Charles?
No, sir.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No.
And Ms. Casares?
No.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Chairman and board members, just note that on the green sheet, which we're moving forward with, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, pretty much all, there's 8 projects from the 2006 bond on the green sheet. So pretty much everything that's left, we now have on this list for completion.
Is this in regards to district financials or? Okay, and to include the remaining 2006
right.
one? Okay.
Just showing you that they're on the list and ready to go. We're quickly going to get to the point where we're not talking about the 2006 bond.
Right.
It'll be a great day.
Ms. Gonzalez, go ahead.
Sorry. Is that the 691 phone number?
Yes, it is. 2011 is fund 691.
On our, was that it, Ms. Gonzalez?
Thank you.
Just real quick, on our collections report, we have a 97.65. Are we seeing a difference in our comparative tax collection on page 8? And I guess my thing is now that we switched our fiscal year, are we seeing a difference in
that? No, because their fiscal years remain the same. And so basically the taxes are coming in right in the same months, which was the high volume is December, January, and February.
And we're projected to be at a...
At least 98%.
98%.
We're on target, yes.
We'll probably see 100 and something.
Right.
Okay. I had asked a question on. Okay, that's all I have for right now. Are we in agreement to recommend it to the full board?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're in agreement. Go ahead.
I have one question. On your weekly enrollment report?
Yes.
Back in the old days, do I say that a lot? they used to count the number of students that were ineligible, that were. Employees, children that were in the state of New Mexico that we allowed to come to Benfield. Has that changed? No. But we don't count them. We used to show them on these reports. We don't show them anymore?
No, but we could.
I think they show them.
That's a simple report that we could do.
Do you know approximately how many kids we have like that? Whole bunch?
No, not a whole bunch, but I could absolutely get that information for you and put it in the Friday packet. I'll do it by campus.
That'll be sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Logan.
No problem. Bill, we're in agreement to recommend it. Okay. We're in
so
agreement.
Do you want that every month, or you just want that?
No, I just one time.
In a Friday packet.
See, yeah.
Okay.
Us
Tanya, we're in agreement if you could take us to the next item.
Item C is Teams Finance Module Update, Mr. Ortiz.
Hallelujah. Who was the brain surgeon who figured this out? What? To put the screen in front of us instead of making us look around that pole. That must be why we hired you, Dr. Murphy. The pig pucks, this is good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to report on the team's finance module project that we have undertaken. Out of the 43 original agenda items that we had with Prologic, we've been working through those and we've successfully narrowed it down to 14 items. And we have, out of those 14 items, the finance team came up with the five most critical items that were critical to their operations so that we could clearly communicate that to Prologic and they could expedite the, so we could begin to manage the expectation of when we could get these things completed. They added, and in fact, Prologic added another one onto that, those critical items. We've worked through those six and have successfully completed one, the purchase order draft copy, and we are working through another two right now, which should be completed in the next couple weeks to come. The communication with Prologic has been good. We've had weekly meetings with them. If we don't have a weekly meeting, we actually have a go-to meeting where we're receiving training on their updates. We have seen a significant upgrade in their customer service to us. We have, in turn, not that they're doing everything, I have to really give a lot of credit to the finance staff and our IT department for working together internally on some of these things. A sub-project that we have come up with most recently that Ms. Brigham has taken on is the reporting, being able to pull the financial data into a reportable format. She's working with her department as well as the accountants to get these reports because it is a lot of, they've, Prologic provides us a query builder, and it's a very requires a lot of time and work to get to pull that information into a reportable format. And so we have looked at the whole spectrum of what we want to do, but Ms. Brigham has taken that on and said, you know, that's something that we can work on internally, and so we're doing that right now. That's a really critical item. I think the for the most part, the financial staff has seen progress. They're looking forward to what we can do in the near future to help them be able to so that teams is a success. We've carried this whole project management concept over into our HR as well. They've implemented the benefits module. They've implemented some enhancements in that, and so what we've learned from our own project management and the finance, we're using in those as well.
Okay. I heard a little rumor, is it true?
What's that?
Is it? Has it been finalized? Can we congratulate you?
Yes. No?
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay, and I'll thank you so much, and I guess pretty much we've been able to see the improvements right from that
definitely
letter that
have
we
have seen a great improvement in the way they have addressed our needs as a district. You know, it's work in progress, but definitely less stressful days within the finance department. Lots of work, but we're able to, you know, maneuver through the different processes, and we're doing better.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just want to publicly thank Ernie for taking on the challenge, and Stella as well for quite a while, but especially Ernie for the project management. He was able to bring disparate groups together in Austin and El Paso and different departments and really make hay and come together and help with this project to where it was out of control and now it's very, very manageable. And it's not the number one bleeding alarm in our ears anymore. And that is a lot to do with all the work from everybody, but really appreciate Ernie's leadership.
Yeah,
It's very helpful.
There's a proverb that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so it was hard to get the groups together to talk, and I just kind of sat back and watched them work it all out together. And it's really a tribute to Martha and Annette for their leadership in their own respective divisions.
Thank you so much for your hard work on this and for your hard work for the district.
The perseverance is unmatched.
So that will take us to the next item.
Item D, 2012-13 budget update follow-up.
Thank you.
Mrs. Eddy.
On March 28th, board meeting, the finance staff went ahead and did a preliminary budget presentation. I was not available at that board meeting. However, I do have a couple of items that were requested I look into as I work through this budget. And so I'm going to make some comments as far as some of the questions you all had and then add additional information that I currently have. I will be coming back next week with another presentation on a little bit more advanced budget status. I will also like, I think I need to discuss our leadership award. That is, we've had the Silver Award for the transparency through the Texas Comptroller's office. However, it's time to apply again, and so I just kind of wanted to make some comments and then ask for direction as to where we want to go with that. The first item that I'm going to address is one of the questions you had was, what was the refined ADA projected for this current 11-12 school year? And what is our actual ADA? And so when we adopted the budget, we were projecting 5,600 students ADA. Now, of course, remember this is actual students in class, not necessarily enrolled. And our current ADA for the October PEEN snapshot, which is how we're now projecting for next year's budget, is 5,630. So we have increased by 30 students. As far as our preliminary values, as far as a 2011 property valuation came in, we were at $1,484,000. As of March, we had the preliminary values update on the 2011, and we are currently at $1.46 billion. So we decreased by $210,000. Now, when you consider the 30,000 additional students we had at about $5,400, it's a bit of a wash there as far as the money that came in from property values versus the money that we have in increased ADA. So we're pretty much on target as to how we adopted the budget and what revenue we currently have. In regards to competitive compensation package, that will be presented to you at the April 17th board meeting by TASB and Martha Carrasco in HR. And so at this point right now, I don't have any of that information for you. There was also a question about goods in transit, and I believe the question was posed whether or not we have looked into the changes that came up because of the new regulations or compliance that they implemented. We did bring this to the board, a resolution to you all for approval in November or December of this last year. Actually, it was presented by Steve Blanco. As far as how did this affect us, the board approved was so that we remained within the same collection efforts that we had in the past. And so at this point right now, we are still up to date with how we were receiving our funding before. And then the last question that was also posed was as far as leased land, and we're, again, you mentioned it through the warrant list, the VISPA quarry. And about a year and a half ago, we did research a little bit into it. We found that it was leased property, and the only collections we are having right now is on the equipment that they currently have. However, we will be contacting Ms. Kilgore to move forward with the protest or documentation that we need to question and look more into that. And then as far as additional items I wanted to discuss with you all is fund balance considerations. So if you remember last year, one of the new compliance guidance that was implemented was the GASB 54, and it was introduced to establish fund balance classifications, where before we just had fund balance or savings account, as you many may know, non-spendable, restricted, and unrestricted. They required that we split the unrestricted fund balance, which is the fund balance we look at constantly from where we were at 5.4 million, that we're now sitting at 10 million. We have to actually split that or classify that into three sections. And so within the unrestricted, we had to classify committed, assigned, and unassigned fund balance. So for the fiscal year 11-12, which is this current year, we allocated $150,000 for the Northwest Early College Eating Facility. Now, this was savings that we had already set aside and not used. And so when it rolls into fund balance, we just identified it as committed for the Northwest Early College Eating Facility. In addition, we allocated $100,000 for the School of Music, and that has also been used. We also allocated $70,000 for the Garantillo High School pumps, and this was in addition to the existing local budget. In the event that he exceeded the amount budgeted, we would be able to cover through that fund balance, which we did use. And then $250,000 for the pre-K-8 contingency funds. Again, they are committed under that category. That does not mean that it must be used. The board has the ability to take that fund, you know, the commitment, and restructure it any way they want.
So out of the committed, which ones do we not use the committed?
What hasn't been used as of today is $150,000 for the Northwest Early College Eating Facility.
It's part of the cafeteria.
Right. Yeah. And then the pre-K-8 contingency fund. And there's sitting...
Can we... I guess my thing is once we start committing fund balance money, mm-hmm. we start using it. And I think it's best that we try to put that money in non-committed instead of committed.
One thing to keep in mind, and I know the auditors have reminded us of this, is when we leave it in unassigned, you know, when we talked about how our state and our legislation was looking for money mm-hmm. because somehow they were short and they were trying to put the burden back on us. If we have too much of the unassigned fund balance, to them that would mean that, okay, the district can use that money to offset any shortages the state doesn't give.
And the problem here is, I mean, I could have seen it for this last fiscal budget, mm-hmm. but in this coming budget that we have, thanks to our voters, we have the ability of where we don't have to use any fund balance to actually do that. And so, I mean, our argument with the state legislator then is the inequities within the funding system, and we're not equal compared to our counterparts.
Now, keep in mind that we will have one more year of this biennium, which is coming up, and so if for whatever reason they were to turn around and say we will have to resort to additional funding mechanisms, this is an area that they might look at. Committing it still gives you the ability to approve or unapprove. It's a high ticket. These are high ticket items that would come to you for approval anyway.
And my thing is, I don't have a problem committing it, but once we commit it, you're going to spend it pretty much on this stuff that we have. We spent most of it. I don't have a problem say we're going to commit it even 500 to make it look that way. And we have it in the bond program where we don't have to use it. But I guess my thing is the inequities, because our voting public actually allowed us to increase the tax base, allows for inequities compared to other districts that don't have the same ability that the taxpayers. So, I mean, our argument is different compared to individuals that were capped at that rate, and we don't have the ability to raise through voter approval. And so I just want to look at that when we're looking at this next fiscal year budget. I don't mind committing, but I wouldn't want to spend it, you know? Right. And I don't know what the state legislator is going to do this coming year.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't want to put in another $500,000 committed, and then we spend 70% of it. So that's what I have.
And then we'll bring it forward, like I said, through the budget presentation that is coming up next week. And then just, I felt it necessary to bring it up for discussion. And then as you all have the considerations as to do we need it, will it, you know, prevent us or keep us safe as far as the state wanting to come in and designate, like I said, it doesn't have to be spent, but you can commit. Because a pre-K-8 is still several years from now. Yeah. It's something that we know.
Well, we could increase that to 500.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's basically what I would recommend that you all start considering how you want to perhaps designate certain funds. And again, it's just
What recommendations were you going to give to us to put under the committed?
I was going to do the pre-K contingency fund. I would going to recommend again for another $250,000 or whatever amount you all decide. We see that we, and again, not knowing exactly how we land as far as the property values, the numbers that we're presenting right now are preliminary for the budget. So if in any case next month the property values come a little lower, although they did increase quite a bit, considerations is that when you're looking at the compensation package, versus, you know, we've stated that we know that technology, instructional technology is definitely a need. We know that we have the School of Music, where we had originally agreed for a $90,000 per year. This year, the budget they presented is $177,000. I'll be bringing to you next week a breakdown of what they're wanting
but
to use.
We do have that in our budget.
$90,000.
But we have the ability, I mean, and we have to make discussion on that.
Right.
Because it looks like we might even have more ability or more leeway in that area.
Right.
But once we get those numbers, then we'll be able to, okay.
Athletic equipment, that was another one that you, when the athletic program came and presented, you indicated that you wanted to have a, just like the 90,000 we annually give to the School of Music, that we consider an annual budget to the athletic department.
But that's coming out of our MNOs, right?
And that's all it is.
Okay.
But those are considerations that you could consider.
And technology.
I'm sorry?
Technology for our kids.
Technology is the biggest one that we really need to consider. Another item that I wanted you to consider is as we look at, and I don't know if he's still here. Mr. Sanchez, who's overseeing custodial, due to either vacancies or FMLA workers' comp issues, we've had to do a lot of contracted services with a temp agency to bring in to help the campuses with custodial issues. We're looking at what we did in food service is that there was, we call them flex cafeteria staff that were hired on because they had excess that they were able to, as they vacated, they changed the position designation to flex cafeteria worker. So in the event that one morning an elementary had this short one staff and the high school is another, instead of calling a sub or contracted services, it's within our own staff and we move them around as they need. Consideration will be presented where perhaps we should consider custodial services under the same manner because they find themselves short quite a bit. And sometimes the temp agency can provide the support, and then sometimes they can't. It just depends.
Go ahead.
Yes. Groundskeepers as well as custodian?
That could, well, and the, we could probably designate them a flex employee of that type, and that would be perfect.
I think it'd be appropriate.
Okay. So that's just another item that I'd like for you all to consider. And then the last item that I wanted to present was on the Texas Comptroller Leadership Circle. They have the three levels as they did last year, which is the bronze, the silver, and the gold. We currently have the silver award. Basically, what they require is that we meet three major criteria points and then eight minor criteria. And this basically is to recognize local governments that are trying to have be fiscally responsible and be transparent as far as the budgets and things that the district currently has with the financials. And so in order to be in the silver, we still qualify if we remain as is because we have all our budgets posted. We have our financial audits posted in local government and elected officials, information, contact information, things of that sort. It means that they, in three clicks, you can get from the main website into see the budget report. you know, three clicks and you can, so, you know, three folders. And so we've made sure that we do that. The consideration to get into the gold circle, which is definitely up to the board, is that one item that we're short of is the check register. And so I'm just informing.
Are we able to put it on?
I don't like it.
We could if we had to. I mean, definitely have to talk to school resources and work with through that. But definitely the first thing we need is board approval that they want to do this.
Mr. Chair, we're very proud of the fact that we are a silver circle. We're unique in that. Not a lot of districts have even that. The gold with the check registry, I can't tell you, EPISD this year has gone to the check registry online and they have picked up the gold.
Believe me, Davis and Sanelli are also on the gold leadership now.
But getting silver is in itself a great achievement, which we currently have. And it just would be up to the board if you wanted to do it or not.
I'm getting ready to submit the information, so just direction from the board is
great. I wouldn't mind looking into it, but
I'm happy with silver. Remember we discussed it at length last year, silver seems safe.
And the
so that's that's all I had as far as the leadership circle. And if you have any additional questions or additional items you'd like to see for next week's budget presentation, next week I'll be presenting to you all a breakdown, because the campuses and departments, kudos to them, have actually entered the budget into teams on their own. Well, thank you to school resources and finance staff who definitely provided the guidance and advice and help, and we move forward. But they actually entered versus last year where we all of finance.
Bless you.
Bless you.
And so the budgets are in. We're still, you know, tweaking, cleaning, but right now I can go ahead and next week's presentation will be with a by department and campus allocation, as well as by function and then by object code. You'll be able to see the different expenditures or the allotments as they've designated at this point. But if there's anything else that you'd like to see, please let me know.
Okay. Anything else? No? Okay. Thank
Just bring
you.
Back that gold circle discussion when you bring back the budget.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Aguirre. And that will take us to the next item.
Item E, update on architect and energy management RFQs to include contract updates.
Mr. Gale.
We can go to the next one.
Rodriguez, members of the committee, Dr. Horton, members of the audience, I'm here to answer any questions you have on the RFQ for the energy management and architect. I can tell you that we are now in negotiation with all the architects as far as their pricing and costing, and we should be able to bring the contracts to you as soon as possible on that. So we can finalize the hiring of the architects. I'm here to answer any other questions you might have on that.
Do you have any questions? No?
I do.
Okay.
Are there any updates we need to hear? Has everything gone smooth? Everything as expected?
So far it looks good. I spent all afternoon with Dr. Murphy and Mr. The architect, with Steve at the attorney's office with two of the architects, G&A, and with Dimensions on Friday. We went through what we were expecting of them, and they all agreed to they understand what we want. They came up with some good ideas. Dr. Murphy mentioned part of that as far as how we can do the scope of works real quickly. So I was very impressed with
So you think it's smooth and everything's going well?
So far it looks very good, yes. Okay. I think think once we get them on board, we can start hitting the ground running with some of these projects.
That's all I got.
I really do.
Thank you, Mr. Gallen. Glad to have you back.
Okay, so we'll be getting this pretty soon.
We should be bringing the contracts to you for approval within the next week or two, I believe.
Okay. So, any other questions?
Thank you, Doug.
On the update of the RFQs, this is where we were going to talk about, Mondo, what you wanted to talk about, the how we have them structured regarding the energy management and the architects.
My thing is, I just want to make sure that they're two separate things with the MMK. So depending on what it is, if it's cheaper to do a turnkey or architect, and then the other thing, we could discuss that later. But Dr. Murphy had told me that that project wasn't probably going to start till next year, and we could start on the other, the Moore Nordell.
Oh, okay.
So if we could separate those two, and then we could discuss that later and move forward with the media stuff, which is CMS and
well, the problem with that is that the architect is currently negotiating a contract to do both projects, both the CMS and the HVAC administration and installation.
Well, I want to look at both and just to make sure that we're doing our due diligence under that.
So you want us to, well, we'll bring it, when we complete it, we'll bring it back.
We'll be able to discuss it there.
Then you'll discuss it.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, any other questions? No?
The meetings are going very well. The architects are very grateful for the work. We're going to cooperating one with another. And, you know, it's going along. We're waiting. The one that's furthest along is the energy management. They're like in their second draft. I talked to Mr. Bailey this morning. I know Jerry Wallace talked to Mr. Bailey this afternoon. It's probably going to be the first one that we finish with the architects right behind them.
Yeah. Okay.
Step along well.
Then that will take us to the next item.
Item F, update on RFQ for agent and or project manager for Opus Line of DC 2011 bond projects. Dr. Murphy?
Actually, Ron can talk about this one.
Okay, Dr. Murphy wanted me to look at this. I'm currently working on the RFP. It will be an RFP because it's not going to be an architect or an engineer, so it'll actually be an RFP. It's also, I've done some research, and what we want to call instead of a project manager is going to be a project management consultant. And I'm looking at this, I'll read you a little bit about what I found on it. A program management consultant may be hired by the district on large projects or to oversee a group of projects like a bond program. To coordinate and manage the project and participants or oversee the district's entire program. These consultants can be the district's eyes and ears on the ground and can be useful in a situation where there is not a person already employed by the district who can act in this role. However, hiring consultants for these roles adds an additional layer of cost to the project or program, and the cost of a consultant should be carefully evaluated against the cost to hire an in-house program or project manager if the need exists. But being where the situation we're in, I think this would probably be the best way to go. I'm about 90% through writing the RFP. I hope to have it on the streets. I'm going to bring it to Dr. Murphy. We'll run it through legal. Hopefully we'll have it on the streets Friday. We'll close on April 27th. That way we could be able to bring it to you to the board meeting in May.
So it's a project agent? Okay.
It will be actually a project management consultant.
Okay.
And it'll be an
RFP.
Even though it says Q on here,
right.
After looking at it,
I was reading on here, there's some controversy about the procurement requirements for program managers and project management consultants. Many of the firms providing these services are actually architects or engineers, and they feel that they're exempt from the RFP process. But according to this and the Texas Government Code Chapter 2255, that is not true to the fact. So we do have to go out for an RFP.
So these people would just be
Right. They would just be monitoring what we're doing. They will be overseeing. They'll be attending construction meetings. They'll make sure people are on the job doing what they're supposed to be doing. They'll assist in...
be our person at the table?
Exactly.
But only at the board's request.
Correct.
Yeah.
It would not be for everything in the box.
Well, if we get somebody on board by then, and we already, it's you.
I mean, right. We can go out for bids. We don't have to award it. There's a clause in there that we do not have to award the RFP. We can go out for bids. We can see what's out there, who responds, what kind of fees they have, and qualifications they have. And if we feel we've got somebody on board that can handle it, we do not have to award it.
Okay. Any questions?
Just glad to see that it's going out mm-hmm. as quickly as it is.
Yeah, Dr. Murphy said this is our priority. I've been working hard on it.
And this is a direct, this was the number one recommendation from the CBAC, is this item right now.
Right.
Okay. And then, so, seeing none, then that could take us to the next agenda item.
Item I is notification and discussion regarding RFP for athletic track resurfacing, Mr. Bannon.
Okay, I'm also working on this project. I've already started the framework for that. We're going to be waiting for Mr. Arroyo from Dimensions Architect to give us some more detailed scope so I can include that in the RFP so we know what we're actually going out to bid for. We're going to do the ASTM specs, the UIL specs, items such as that, so that we can write a good scope to go out for bid for this project. So I hope we can get this out early in May so that we can get this on the streets early in May.
Through the chair, we are doing both the high school track as well as CMS, the middle school track, as well as in the RFP, we will also put down possible assistance with the subsidence issues at AMS, depending on how much work needs to be done specifically on the track. Didn't show up here, but in Ferris, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas, I don't know why it doesn't show up. If you'll just simply turn the our computer around so the board can see it.
Okay, I could see the orange.
Ferris, Texas has put in a bright orange, a candy teal orange track resealed. And we are going to price and see if we can get, without going over budget, if we can get an orange track at CHS at the high school to match our to go along with our blue field. We're going to have the RFP go out where they price it with regular color and the orange. And we're hoping the price difference will be very minimal. And we're going to bring back to you that option. And if it's not over budget, we might be able to pull that off. So I know Sergio Coronado, who's not here tonight, is really excited about that. He's the one that brought me the idea to me. And if the price isn't any different, and we know that it does exist there at Ferris, Texas.
Does it glow in the dark?
What?
Does it glow in the dark?
Yeah. Can you imagine a bright orange track around that blue field? It's something else. So, but we're not going to go over budget, but we're going to just see what's out there.
Okay. Any questions? No. That would take us to the next item.
Item J, Kenny T.O. Middle School Sewer Line Project Update.
Can we do N first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Are you doing the, is that it for Mr. Gatton?
Well, I have L. We'll look at that now, or we can, I can come back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, real quick. Let's do L real quick, and then we'll go to N.
Item L, CH Local Purchasing and Acquisition.
We discussed this item at length in the Instruction Policy Committee last week. Mm-hmm.
For those that were here in attendance last week, you have a copy of the regulation and policy.
Right.
And I included it again in case somebody wasn't here.
Do you have any questions on it, or do you want me to go through it again?
I think we made a decision. Mm-hmm. At the other meeting. Something I would like to say, Dr. Murphy, and this is somewhat related, somewhat not, it's point of order. Mr. Armendarsko, I speak. I'm so sorry. That's the second time we've done that to you. Could you change your name?
Not to that.
It's the Armando and Rodriguez. Somehow it went together. Do I need to go stand in the corner?
You say it again.
Miss
Aguilar. Can you do things? Dr. Murphy, you gave us last time at our curriculum meeting a regulation and felt that it was fine to have only a regulation.
The senior goals?
Uh-huh.
We can't have a regulation because regulations follow policy by policy. So to have a regulation, you have to have a policy for it to follow.
I think we do. I think it's...
But do you understand what I'm saying? Because we were left at the last meeting. We'll just have the reg. We don't have the policy. It'll be fine. But that's not, if it came, push came to shove and legal came to us, you have to have the policy to have a regulation. So for whatever it's worth.
Okay. I'll bring back the items that it's related to.
Yeah, legally, you have to have a policy to have a regulation. Thank you, Mr. Armando.
I'm going to call you Miss Cedia. Cedia, I missed
that. No, it's S. Searles. S. Searles.
I'll take us to the, unless anybody has any questions, I'll take us to item N.
Item N, employee recognition event update, including furniture option not to exceed $1,400, Mr. Cabanas.
Chairman Rodriguez and members of the committee, I come with a quick update on our employee recognition event. Tony's passing out some photographs that will go along with my conversation here. The RSVPs are coming in steadily. We are at about 70 so far. Deadline is this Friday, and we expect a big push this week. We again will contact all employees and let them know that the deadline's coming up and that we want to know who's going to attend. We sent out invitations. We delivered invitations to every school and every facility in person, so every employee should have received a hard copy of an invitation and with instructions on how to RSVP. So we expect more people to start RSVPing. So far, we have about 100 people RSVPing. And of course, it's our nature sometimes to put things off, so we expect a big push this
Our people never do that. We never do that. We don't do that.
We're also working on some of the logistics as far as you know, decorations and the food and all that good stuff. We have some, one of our floral design students will be designing the centerpieces for the event.
Great idea.
And our graphic art students design the invitations, so we are having our students participate in those logistics of this event. And we're moving forward here with another aspect of our of Grace Gardens, of our site here. They had talked to us about additional space, and they do have a pond right outside the facility we will be using, and the pond is has an area like a little island that we can use as additional lounge space for our employees to use. Grace Gardens has quoted us the furniture for this lounge area, and the furniture is like the ones you're looking at, and their quote is $1,320 for the rental of that. We wanted to see what you thought. They also will provide a bar area at that side, so if people want to hang out there, they have that opportunity, and it's a great area. It's outside, it's open, and it's beautiful with the pond and the island there as well.
Is this Washington D.C.?
I'm not sure. That's not the exact furniture that they would use, but it's like the ones they would use. And I have seen it personally at an event I was there at, and it's very similar.
This looks like my building our building in D.C. Really? I mean, you see the Capitol right behind it, but you see those, it's one of the green buildings. I'm trying to see.
Mr.
I think I took it from your Facebook disability.
Isn't that Armando in the back of the chair?
Gustavo, the seating capacity inside is?
It's 670 at this moment. And once the food portion of the event is finished, Grace Gardens will remove some of the tables they're using for food, and they will set up cocktail tables outside that will allow people to also be outside immediately, outside of the doors of the ballroom.
The feeling, though, is that it will be a bit cramped. And adding this item for $1,300 will add a whole other section for people to meet and congregate, and it will have its own bar.
Can we just hold off till then?
Till Friday.
I'm not sure what the timeline is of this, but I can check on that and get back to you.
I just put the RSVP, how they come in, and we'll know by Friday?
We should know, yes, we will know by Friday.
So if we put an item by Tuesday?
Yeah, for next week, okay, we can do that.
Is that okay with everybody?
That sounds so smart.
Sorry, Mondo.
No, that sounds good. That's what I was getting to. You know how it's done. Better than I do. Okay. That would take us... so we'll do that?
I think so.
Okay.
I need to see.
That would take us to the next item.
Item J, County Middle School Sewer Line Project Update.
Is your internet...
It's through the chair, committee members and board members. It's a sign of the times. I have three facilities management items here for us. The first one is a continuation of the CMS sewage treatment plant remediation, in which it's going away, and we are contracting with the PSB to put in a private sewer line from Canyon-Teal Middle School underneath the Rio Grande and over to Canyon-Teal proper to a lift station, PSB lift station. We greatly appreciate that the PSB has cut us a really good deal. And I bring to you for approval to take to the board, I have the contract regarding the design work. And if you have this in your materials on page 2, items 301 and 302 are the responsibility of CISD. And it's responsible to pay EPWU, PSB, within 30 days of invoice, all costs and fees for engineering design. And in 302, shall pay EPWU
exactly right
within 30 days the actual really construction cost amount for the sanitary sewer lift pumping station. And I called him and I was like, now you guys told us approximately $1.5 million. I said, is this in addition? He said, no, what this is kind of like phase one within the 1.5 million. So this is just within the total cost. It's not an added cost. It's just within the total cost.
Say that again, Dr. Murphy, please.
We have negotiated an approximate cost of $1.5 million for the project. And you'll remember that we initially budgeted $2.5 million. And so they sent us this, and it didn't mention the $1.5 million. So I called them. I said, what exactly is this? He says, all this is allowing us to move forward with the design phase and payment for the design phase. And I said, are these monies within the $1.5 million? He said, yes. This is not exterior. This is not additional. This is simply part one of those fees. That's all it is. And all we're doing pretty much in signing this is authorizing PSB to move forward with the design and the engineering of the project. Very, very standard. There's no red herring here. It's step one, moving forward with the project with the design phase. And I do notice that it has me signing this, and I'm going to have them change it between now and next week. That it should be a board member signing it, not me.
Dr. Murphy.
Yes.
I guess I'm confused.
We've already signed an initial agreement with the PSB.
Okay, I'm with you now. Thank you.
This is part one.
I'm with you. Okay.
Authorizing, and as they go through each part of the work, we'll have another one for us to do.
For the middle school on Bosque Road.
Yes.
Going under the river. Okay, I got you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any questions?
Yeah.
No? We're okay with it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Bring it back to the board next week?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Next item.
Item K, sewer line throughout the middle school driveway update.
Okay, this is just an update. There's no decision being made tonight, but I have given you maps, and Tony, if we could pull it up on the screen.
It's on the screen.
If I may. If we go to the next screen. Sorry. Candotillo Heights. They are going to put it north of the Alton Mall. They want to put in a 30-inch forced main sewer line that currently would terminate and begin actually at the access road of the freeway. This is a forced sewer main that would come through Candotillo Heights, down through some of the older communities south of Candotillo Heights, and right through the heart of Candotillo Middle School, eastern edge of it, and then coming down through the driveway. Then the forced main would come over again through Candotillo, go through where the new spur is going through, and join into a forced main down at the south end of our district near the borderland area. Mm-hmm. This has already been approved. It's already been paid for. It does not, I want to point out, it does not affect anything on the west side of the river. Nothing on the west side of the river will be affected in any way, shape, or form. Also, because this is a forced main, there will be very few connections in Canyotillo. It's pretty much just going to be a throughway for the sewer as it goes through. However, in asking Canyotillo ISD to utilize Alderete as a turning point for the system, they are fully agreeing to do four things. Number one, allow Canyotillo Alderete Middle School to hook in to the forced sewer line. Number two, to provide new driveways. We'll get new paving on both sides, both the exit and the entrance sides of Alderete. Number three, at the bottom of this, at the turnout of Alderete and Talbot, there is a ponding area, a natural ponding area that causes a mess when it rains. They would fix the ponding area. And then number four, and I don't have it on a sheet, but at any other juncture on the site where we could possibly tie in, they would allow us to tie in. CISD would be allowed to tie in at any spot along the connector that we needed to tie in. So they're willing to do that. When Ernesto was here, he did the initial negotiations, got them to agree to those four items, and they're ready to do it this summer. To do it, they are going to have to tear up the entrance driveway, and then we are going to have to reroute traffic. We have moved summer school to CMS as opposed to AMS. So AMS is similar to CES in that it's basically empty this summer and available for the work. They've come to us twice now. Gustavo and I went to a meeting there last week. And of course, they've been here in front of the board. And I bring it to you for discussion and if we're going to give approval for them to move forward or not.
Question? Go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
Dr. Murphy?
Yes.
Do they feel like they'll finish within the summer months?
They think that the actual, of course, I don't want to take them at their word, but they think that the actual work that will bother us and that's right where we have a problem will be 1 week. That's it. It'll be done in a week.
To repave it and everything?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Just the driveway. Now, not back here, but the driveway itself, they feel that they could put the pipe in a week. Well, so, you know, if you don't take them at their total word, it certainly isn't a project that's going to last for months. Because when they put the pipe in, you got to remember, this is new pipe. There's not going to be sewage. I asked specifically, is there going to be a smell when you do this? He says, no. This is new pipe that they're laying. Once it gets all in, then they turn it on. And so there's no, it's just laying down an empty pipe.
Because we're allowing them to do this, to go through Alderete, have they given us a cost of how much they think it'll cost us to be able to tap into this line?
Well, they'll do it for free. It's one of the four items that they'll do. They'll let us tap into the line for free. They'll repave both sides of the driveway for free. They will fix the ponding at Talbot and the entryway for free. And then in the future, at any way, anywhere along the line, if we want to tie in, they'll allow us to tie in for free.
Dr. Murphy, if I'm reading the contract with them, such rights and easement, we are, by signing this, giving up our right to that land. That will be their easement forever. And if they want to come dig up our property, they can come dig up our property. They can do anything they want to do because it's not our property anymore. We just gave it to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and
through this contract.
Also, I want
and to that's why I think that when it was brought to us the first time, we indicated that we wanted Ernesto to negotiate with these people. You say he has, but you know, I don't feel good about giving them the easement right through the middle of our middle school parking lot at that any time. It grants them the right to construct, maintain, and operate on that property.
I do want to point out that that green line is wrong. Remember, they're not going to knock down those trees. They're not coming through the median. They're actually going to go underneath the pavement and save the trees. That's why they're going to rip up the pavement, put it down, and repave. And we said, well, hey, you're not going to give us nice, I mean, cruddy on this side and nice on this side. And that's when they said, okay, well, we'll do both sides. And then we will get the tie-in. So, yeah, it is owned by, well, they will have the easement, but yeah, we will have the usage of a new sewer line, which we don't have currently.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Clinton.
Dr. Murphy, is that the one where they tore down the wall and they put it right back?
That's actually right up here. It's a good point. It's actually right at the very top of this site across from the football field, just to the south of the football field. I mean, that didn't have anything to do with that project, but that is right where that is.
It's two different projects?
Yes, it's two entirely different projects. They haven't done this at all. They haven't touched it.
But are they related?
No, no, ma'am, they're not related at all. The one where they tore down the wall is nothing more than a door, a pedestrian park, a walkway for this neighborhood that's over here. Show you on the other one. This neighborhood that's right here, we were going to knock a wall, a hole in the wall so that this neighborhood could come into Alvarete without having to go all the way down to Talbot and around. And that was what the bond project was. We started it, but there is a metal, what do they call those things, guardrail that cars punch through. And before we can put it in, the county has to move that guardrail. And we haven't, they have not agreed to come out and do it yet. That's a separate, this is a sewer line, totally different. If you'd like, I could have someone from the PSB come back on the 17th at the meeting. I also could tell them, I mean, whatever you guys desire me to tell them.
So cool. I think we already told you what to tell them. We got to get the new Mr. Fix-It on board, Mr. Executive Director.
Okay. And then
the only thing is the timeline on this issue, right?
Yes, sir. The concern is that it'll tear up the driveway at Alvarete. And if we don't get it done in the summertime, you know, it's going to be really tight to get it done. I did speak, and to address your concern, Mr. Searles, I did speak to Mr. Ballou, who he's like the number two at the PSB. I actually asked him what his opinion was about not having someone in that facilities position. And he said that in putting in this line all the way, that this is only a little minor piece of it, and that he did not feel it was going to be a problem at all.
Of course he doesn't.
Yeah, because he's putting in miles of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, miles of line.
But I have a problem, too, with the way the contract reads, and I think that at least needs to go back to Steve Blanco.
Regarding
giving them our land.
Oh, about access to the easement?
Mm-hmm. Well, the easement is their easement, is the way this reads.
Has Mr. Blanco?
Has he even read this?
No, not that I know of. He has not read this.
So I think, you know, once again, we don't have anybody at the table on our side. We can't just willy-nilly head off and, oh, yeah, sure, guys, it looks good. You say it looks good. I think that's not being a good steward of our property or our taxpayers' money.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit confused. Why are we paying them? If they
we're not paying.
I didn't read anyone, or am I getting it confused with the other one?
It's with the other one. Okay. I was confused, too.
Yeah, okay.
They did, if there's one more slide, if I may. Just to show you, here's Candy Geo Heights up here, here's Alderick in the middle. Where this terminates at I-10, in the future what they're going to do, and at this point the plans are not there, but they're going to come over I-10, they're going to come back down south basically to Trans Mountain, and then the sewer line is going to head up Trans Mountain. And I asked specifically, because Ms. Searles, you had asked me, for the routes and the plans up in this area, and they have not been drawn.
Okay.
Then can we have our council look at it?
Yes.
And then the concerns.
Regarding the easement.
The concerns are the easement, and Tom, we'll switch them off some property off the.
We're giving away our rights to that land.
But we're also connecting to a high pressure sewer line that will assist our schools.
When?
As soon as they get it in. We get the connection for all the rest.
And how many opportunities do we really have to connect to them? Because I can see it's just not that effective.
Once they fire it up, yeah. Well, in the future, if there's any need downstream or upstream, we'll have first dibs to connect.
How does it know that's where?
Will you bring it back up to us? And you could probably have PSB representatives and our.
Don't you think we ought to hear about it a little from our own people before we ask them to come back around and waste up their time?
We could do that.
Okay. So I'm hearing to not bring them to the April 17th meeting.
Well, Steve Blanco has to.
Okay, Steve can look at it tomorrow.
Legal counsel needs to look at it, too.
Okay.
Okay, well, can you tell me again?
Bring it back.
Bring it back to the 17th for possible discussion and possible approval? And
yeah.
Do you want people from PSB here?
No. Just start.
Let's just bring it back for discussion.
And let legal counsel look at it.
And let legal counsel look at it.
Okay, and we still, and even with, okay, that's all we need. Okay, got it. I think there's one more.
Okay, and that will take us to the next item.
I have an electric company rate increase.
Chairman, members of the committee, board members, and audience, you have in front of you, and we presented this last week at the Curriculum Committee and Policy Committee, the resolution stemming out of the SLEDA ISD regarding the protest that the school districts want to do against the electric company. We are looking at between 20 to 35% increase in electric bills for all public entities beginning in January of 2013. A large majority of all school districts in El Paso County have come together to fight this, and we are hiring, or at least the proposal is to hire, a very high-powered attorney to represent the school districts, as well as the housing authority, as well as El Paso Community College, as well as, or is that it?
El Paso Community College.
Housing, and Region 19. The price of the attorney approximately is $150,000. We're all in the wrong business. Based on our kilowatt usage, Candy Teo's share of that $150,000 is $4,100.
The only question I have is I want to make sure that, you know, it's, there's no conflict of interest with the SLEDA board or any other people and the firm that's representing us on that.
Okay, I can't tell you that the counsel at SLEDA, who is Tony Safi, he's the one that did the search for the attorney. The attorney's based out of Austin,
Did they get proposals? What did they do? Or
basically, the committee gave it to Tony to go out and do the search to find the attorney, and he brought back this person. And it's basically his recommendation.
Can we check some references?
Sure, we can. I can't tell you that the big three are all real pleased and excited about the person, but absolutely. In fact, I can bring back their bio and all that.
Tony represents the big three. I'm sure they'll be happy with that.
our share of it is only $4,100, somewhere around there.
About 42.
And it'll give us representation. One of the best attorneys, or at least they're telling us that. I'll tell you what, for full approval, which will have to be on the 17th, I'll bring a bio, I'll put it in the Friday packet of the attorney and all of that. I remember that the resume of this attorney is like three pages long.
That's fine. Put it in our Friday packet.
She's been here. She's been very active in electric company litigation for all her career. I'll bring it back.
Okay. And that would take us to the next item.
Community input.
Mr. Medina? No?
You want me to say something?
No, that's fine if you don't want to.
I've got something to say.
We'd be disappointed if we did.
Oh, wow. Like that. You guys, most of you know me. You know, I would hope that the veracity that you question Mom. Heads and whatnot go to the same on the bond. To this date, we're still talking about the bond 2006. I hate to bring up old stuff, but it isn't old if we're still talking about it and still spending money on it. I fought for that 2006 bond hard. I went door to door and I made it happen, along with many other people, some that aren't here anymore, but Ms. Brayden was right alongside me. I just would hate for this to happen again. We had early bird projects, whether they failed or not, it doesn't matter. They're getting done. I just think we need to have you guys look at this stuff closer. My first meeting that I've attended, and half of my people left, except for one other member, because I wanted to make sure you guys understood that we're in it for the long haul. I mean, they're asking, how long are we going to be on the CBAC? And I said, Isleta was on, or Socorro was on there for 8 years, and we're committed just as much as you.
Thank you.
That's really nice of y'all to be committed. You can see how, you know, you can put a pencil in your eye. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Mr. Gap.
I'd just like to make one comment on the electric rate increases. I think from what I understand from when I was energy manager, we spend over almost $1 million on electricity. 35%. $4,100, like so much else, and we'd be doing ourselves an injustice.
No, I just want to make sure we're getting the best attorney out there, not just, hey, you know, that we did our, that whoever picked them did their due diligence and researched and said, okay, this is a top person when it comes to the energy commission or whatever it is.
I'll put all that for Friday night.
Okay.
And did the CBAC get invited to a programming activity with the RDC? Thank you.
Okay. And that will take us to the next agenda item.
It's
sick. Have you seen my wife?
Oh. Those are real.
Oh, good. I'm glad.